Okay. This is the January KPFA 2017 LSB meeting, which now is in order.
Let me know when I'm supposed to move Quincy out. Okay, let's see. I remember when
the roll call. Mr. Current Secretary.
Yeah.
So here's the, actually today is the last of the people. And anybody who doesn't mind giving the telephone number, could you put that on the sheet and I can update it if you don't want to?
It's on.
They
say it's on. I think it should be a little louder.
Okay.
Just
but
Sharon has good hearing.
So anyway, it's up to you to, you know, if you'd like to have other people be able to contact you by telephone, please put the telephone number on that. Anyway, here comes the roll call. So, Sharon Adam?
Here.
Okay. Ahmad Anderson?
Here.
Bill Campisi?
Here.
Chris Coy?
Here.
Brian? I think that he's going to come in later.
Here.
Oh, are you here? Yeah. Oh, Brian is here. Okay. Very good. Lisa Detmeyer, I think, asked for excuse. Anthony Fest?
Here.
Sasha asked for excused. Yuri? Gottsman?
Here.
Okay. Christina Higgins?
Higgins?
Sorry.
It's okay.
Here. Sabrina Jacobs?
All right. She's coming, Sharon.
Okay.
She's
all right.
Here, yeah.
Jana Coleman?
Present.
Okay. David Lynch?
Here.
Okay. Tim Lynch?
Here.
Scott Olson?
Here.
Okay. Bruce Sawyer?
Here.
T.M. Scruggs?
Here.
Okay, I'm here, Tanaka. Cal Travis?
Here.
Andrea Turner? Tom Buhas?
Here.
Okay. Craig Williams?
Here.
Rich Withers? Not here.
Cal
Wolfrey?
Yeah.
Okay, and Richard Walensky?
Here.
Okay, very good. So only one that I don't have an excuse for is Andrea Turner at the moment. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Is there a motion to excuse those people who have asked to be excused? Is there a second? Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? No? Okay.
Wait.
Now the agenda. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Is this where I make my
Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I
okay. It's moved to approve the agenda. Is there a second? On discussion.
Okay. I'd like
to use the mic, please.
Oh.
I'd like to move Quincy up in the agenda, please.
And to... Oh, the current one is he's 7.
Oh.
So he's in a good place. He's already been moved up. Okay, never mind.
Okay.
All right. So any other changes to the agenda? Janet, give Janet a microphone, please.
Yeah, this is kind of a point of order. Regarding agenda item 7B, the PNB evaluation by Carol Travis, the bylaws do not give the chair of an LSB, a standing committee of the PNB, the authority to evaluate the PNB. I ask the chair to rule this agenda item out of order.
Well, I'm not moving that, but she's moving that. Is there a second to her motion? There's a second? Okay. Is there discussion? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Wait. In favor of what?
Of the motion to remove this. Okay. And all opposed? I have been asked to make a ruling. She made a point. I saw it as a motion. It was seconded. I'm getting the sense of the body, and I am taking a position beyond that it is an order. But in any case, all in favor, please raise your hand. of the motion to wait a minute. Okay, where are we?
All in favor of the motion to remove.
All in favor of the motion to remove.
Seven.
So to remove it, which would mean that my report would take off. All opposed. All opposed.
It's 8B,
correct? All opposed. Okay. Okay. And abstentions. So there are two in favor of the motion to remove. There, everybody else is against it, and I am ruling as chair that it is in order. Okay. now we've got the agenda generally. Are there any other discussions on the agenda? Seeing none, all in favor of accepting the agenda as written, please raise your hands. All opposed? Seeing one. Abstentions? Okay, everybody but one is in favor of accepting the agenda as written. Okay, minutes. we got, okay.
The minute has 2 minutes. The first part is the old 2016, and then the second part, second two pages, is the new 2017.
Did you pass this out?
Yeah.
I don't have it, but I think I saw the second one on the. Okay, and one for Tim. And one for me. Do you have another? It's all right. I read the ones, you know, the ones of the second part on the line, online. So any discussion? Is there a motion to accept the minutes as written? Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. On discussion, is there any corrections? Janet. Okay.
Well, I haven't had a chance to read them, but on the first page, it says November 19th. I'm assuming it's should be December 17th, is it? Yeah.
Yes. All right. Any other corrections? Do people want any time? Okay. All in favor of accepting the minutes as written, please raise your hands. Opposed? Abstentions? Two abstentions. Okay. We are now at announcements. Does anybody have announcements? Carol Wolfley. You need that. You're.
I just wanted to announce that there's a number of upcoming events in this week with the third annual March to Reclaim King's Radical Legacy at Oscar Grant Plaza on January 16th from 11 to 2. There's a number of interfaith gatherings during the week. On the 20th, there are many events across the country, and there will be events at Oscar Grant Plaza and during the day, and on the January 21st, there will be a march with the Women's March. So I'm going to pass these around in case anybody wants further information.
I'd like to announce that Donald Trump is going to be inaugurated as President of the United States on the 20th. Any other announcements? Okay. Public comments. Has anybody signed up for public comments?
Yes.
Okay. Did you sign up? Normally we put out a sheet, but maybe. Did you?
Where's the sheet?
The sheet's over there, but that's okay. We would like you to introduce yourself. Who's going to be the timekeeper?
What is the time?
We usually do 3 minutes. Can somebody be a timekeeper? Okay, thank you, Sharon. And that means for the whole meeting. How gracious of you. No, you know, no good deed goes unpunished.
I know.
Okay, so we have, please introduce yourself. You need a microphone. Okay. It's Tess Wellborn, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
My name is Tess Wellborn from San Francisco. I have three things I'd like to address to you today. Two of them are procedural. First, I think that food and drink and breaks facilitate thinking and communication and courtesy, and the locations that allow these are helpful. Second, there are some votes. I'm not sure about this, but there are some votes that where the vote counting is arranged to favor minorities to get onto whatever is being elected. And if my thinking is correct about that, you may want to make sure you know how the voting is going to be counted. And if it does set up to favor people, minorities, to get on the board, you may want to arrange your votes so that your favorite people are at the beginning and end of any rank ordering, and the people that you don't want to be serving are in the middle. Anyway, consider that if in fact that my thought about the voting is correct on that when electing certain people, certain offices. And finally, you really have been called to serve in an incredible time for KPFA. And it's really extraordinary. And on behalf of listeners and members, I am so grateful to all of you. You will be stretched and challenged. You probably already feel some of that rubber banding, especially if you're new on the board. And you'll be pushed out of your comfort zone about 50 times a minute. Please learn from the past, but don't be bound by it. Don't do like the Pentagon and fight the last war. But look toward the future. It's very important that we look at local issues, the militarized police killing our brothers and sisters, people being forced to live on the street, but also unprecedented corruption faces us at a national level. Pacifica may, KPFA must continue to provide accurate reporting and to assist in and help our communities to unite in progressive action. I'm grateful and proud of all of you, and thanks for serving.
Thank you so much. I want to acknowledge that Sabrina Jacobs just arrived. Kathy Horsley.
Tess, I couldn't have put it better. Thank you so much for that comment. Kathy Horsley, I'm a volunteer for the station, and I live in Berkeley. I also work with Bob Baldock in co-producing the author events that KPFA sponsors regularly. And I just want to call your attention to an upcoming event on February 2nd. That event is with the labor scholar, activist, writer, Steve Early. It'll be focused on his book called Refinery Town, and it's all about Richmond and the Richmond experience fighting Chevron and the amazing neighborhood organizing that has happened in that city before the elections, since the elections. And at the event, Steve will be in conversation with Gail McLaughlin, the former neighbor, and Andrea Soto will be a host and discussant. The point I want to make in bringing it to your attention is the event is scheduled for the Oakland First Congregational Church. We really want to fill that church, and we can hold up to 800 people. Part of the reason I'm pushing that is that Steve, on his own volition and networking, has brought in 20 co-sponsors. Two of the labor organizations that are sponsoring this event have chipped in $500 themselves towards KPFA. So it's an event that in some ways kind of kicks off what is obviously part of local resistance to the Trump era. And we really want to have you all at that event, and please spread the word about that February 2nd KPFA evening event. Thanks.
Thank you, Thank you, Catherine. Emily Sykes.
Good morning. My name is Emily Sykes, and I'm here to bring you news and ideas and views from Marin County. I would like to just underscore those comments from the first two speakers that they thank you very much for all of the effort that you put in for public access radio. The starting with the good and compliments that Marin County brings here today is that they love the programming. They think that the people interviewed and brought from all parts of the world and expressed themselves in facts that are real rather than fake is just greatly accepted, gratefully accepted by the listeners in Marin County. The biggest concern they have, however, is about the financial issues that we hear about, we can't quite understand, except it seems that a couple very basic things should be done. I don't know how much influence the local station has on the public Pacifica board, but I think that there are people that go over there and represent us here in the local station and represent our concerns. And that is that we get the audits finished so that we can have the Corporation of Public Broadcasting contributing the grants that they are supposed to contribute. We don't understand why that can't be done. It's right now down to $50,000, I understand. And I have been told that the 2014 audit has been approved, and does that mean we don't have to worry about it anymore?
Yes, that's when it's done and released, yeah.
And the auditors have sent it back so we can forward it to the public? That's done. Fantastic. Congratulations. And now we have until June something to do the 2015 or 2016.
The 2015 is already late, and the 2016 is due in May.
Okay, so that means that I can bring back news that the Corporation of Public Broadcasting can submit their grants to?
No, not quite, no.
What can
we
do?
We need some money to hire the so that the auditors begin the 2015 and then do the 2016. So we're behind.
And how much money will that involve?
You have to use a microphone.
I have a point of information or order.
I'm talking, thank you.
But a point.
Okay.
May I?
Go ahead.
So this is public comment.
I understand
back and
that. Do you have any answer on that, on the issue of the cost of the audit?
No, but my point of information is how come there's a back and forth when other people don't get that in public comment.
Actually, I'm giving you time to back and forth. Do you have the information on the amount money needed for the audit? Or do you refuse to answer because you think it's procedurally impossible for you to do that properly? Okay.
Somebody is getting that amount. If you think it's not procedural, please take my email and send me a report so I can put the people in Marin County happy about what they have to contribute. And okay. That's what they want to know.
Point of information, this audit is on Pacifica.org. So it's right there. And then in the audit, it says, I believe it says the price, the cost of this audit, and I believe it says about $100,000.
Okay, thank you. One more thing. We understand that there are basic reports, number reports, bookkeeping that hold up the issue of getting the final audit done. So if there's anybody or if it is wise to try to subscribe or involve beginning auditors in Marin County, or if that makes sense, Let me know about that,
Could
too.
You give me your email address before
I
you
I will
leave?
Do that.
That would be great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
And we have nobody else listed for public comments. We appreciate all the public comments. We got a great deal. And thank you very much. The general manager's report begins now.
Thank you. Happy New Year, everybody.
Point of information, do we have a written report, and was it handed out?
Oh, here it is. I'm sorry. It's got to be passed around. As I have done the last 2 years at this inaugural meeting, is first to welcome the newly elected members, and second, as a battle-tested veteran of these gatherings and Pacifica shenanigans, I'd like to offer some advice. I've offered it before with little success, but I'm not one to give up on what I believe is right. Coming from a lifetime in radio, broadcast, and nonprofit, and a former youth radio co-chair, I'll trust you'll understand when I say that I hope you're here to listen. I hope you'll put aside any preconceived assumptions or ideas about what is right or wrong direction for KPFA. And first, strive to understand that all successful boards are a product of teamwork. It's not about any individual. It's about us and what we do collectively. Ideally, these meetings are an opportunity for everyone to become connected to what the station is doing and to help energize and support those efforts. In a successful active board, relationships need to be open-ended, spontaneous, and in true partnership with each other, a dynamic source of ideas, resources, and energy. To survive, we need to target our objectives and not be distracted. Our board's primary responsibility is to focus on the big issues that management brings forth, the important problems facing the station that need tackling. There is a network component to your job, a readiness to share context that may have valuable resources to offer and steer the organization towards a sustainable future by adopting sound, ethical policies and to ensure that KPFA has adequate resources to advance its mission. Therefore, everyone serving on the board must be enthusiastic and actively involved in raising money. Our biggest area of need is still fundraising. This week, our station has taken on a lot of water, and unfortunately, this will affect our infrastructure and elevator operation and cost us money in cleanup and repairs. Now, let me take a moment here to thank Carol, the man with the magnificent mustache, Tom, and Bill Capizzi for coming by and really getting yourselves wet and helping us up and pumping up some of that water. We really appreciate it. It was great just to have, you know, people interactively trying to help us from the board. It was terrific, and it really helped around, helped the morale. We have antiquated computers, and let's face it, the station needs to move quickly from analog to digital broadcasting. Yet we have not one committee established to help brainstorm, create, and assist with successful fundraising off-air projects. Energies need to be placed in this direction, which would be a major step forward. Off-air fundraising is crucial to our survival. You see, fund drives are our lifeblood. Yet additional off-air funding offer us the flexibility to improve our equipment, infrastructure needs, and reach enough stability to begin building reserves and establishing lines of credit. IT. For some time now, the technical infrastructure at KPFA has limped along through pieced together legacy systems, configured and managed through a variety of vendors and out-of-date software that have created an unsustainable environment. Breakdowns in communication between tech management and finance over the years, as well as vendor lock-in contracts, have manifested into nothing short of a crisis. We determined that the only answer is to complete re-engineering and overhaul of our IT infrastructure to fulfill our duty to our staff, our listeners, and our mission. We've begun the first phase in a process which examines our IT network, servers, phone, internet, and personnel to determine what is serving our needs and where there is room for improvement. In late November 2016, we contracted New Day Hosts. They're the folks that host our website and do IT consulting to improve our Wi-Fi network. Our situation was not unlike other systems we have, unsustainable. A single consumer Wi-Fi point, which provided a slow and unreliable connection, it was about this big, That's all we had in the building. So there were frequent outages, and that was the norm. New Day provided not only expanded coverage and reliable connection, but also saved us money in the process. The unified system being implemented will provide a solution to make our IT network efficient and cost-effective. Our strategy is to bring about vendor consolidation, update hardware and software, while creating a transparent interface. In short, this saves the station money by eliminating overpriced contracts, retiring power-efficient servers, and reducing staff frustration levels while generating a belief in stability and possibility. New redundant servers are already being provisioned. Faster internet has been secured with Comcast, and in the weeks to come, it will bring 10 times improvement with bandwidth to KPFA. Programming update. Our next fund drive begins Tuesday, February 21st through Saturday, March 11th. We changed things up, moving the Grateful Dead Marathon event from their usual winter kickoff position to the last day of the drive, Saturday, March 11th. On Inauguration Day, January 20th, Democracy Now! Will broadcast 5 a.m. to noon from the Women's March from Washington, and also on January 21st from 7 a.m. to noon. Here at home, we will broadcast special headlines throughout the day with reports from actions all over the Bay Area. The Nation magazine has added to their progressive honor roll as the most valuable radio show, Letters in Politics, and our good boy, Mitch Jesuit.
Yeah.
That's terrific. I'm so happy for Mitch. Everybody is. The Nation says that the show is a talk show that makes you smarter. Mm-hmm. So when you get a chance, please congratulate old Mitch. It's just terrific. I'm so happy for him. Starting Monday, January 23rd, Mitch will be broadcasting from Washington, D.C. for 3 weeks to begin his coverage of the first 100 days of the Trump administration. His coverage will be heard on both Letters and Up Front in the coming months. After 2 years of broadcasting on KPFB, Talk It Out Radio had their premiere on KPFA airwaves Sundays from 7 to 8. And Talk It Out Radio is the first program to successfully make the transition from B to A. The show models nonviolent communication skills and interacts with callers to help solve their specific communication problems. A crew of long-term nonviolent communication trainers and practitioners host the show. The show's first KPFA Facebook post generated over 5,000 views. With this move, the week starts here with Veronica Faison has been moved to 8 to 9 p.m. on Sunday nights. We continue to upgrade our on-air 30-second promo grid. You'll be hearing new promos from many of our long-standing programs. In addition, we're trying to create and incorporate an algorithmic system to cross-promote upcoming shows throughout our programming schedule in a timely fashion. The next page here in the report is a chart, basically. We just broke down the last holiday drive. I'll just go over the easy part, which is the goal was 550. Total pledge was $508,000, which is about 92%. Total paid in so far is only $3,904.60. Fulfillment, we're at about 77%. Unfulfilled is about $114,000, but, you know, letters and things will be going out for that. So I think we'll probably come in somewhere in the 80s as far as fulfillment, maybe 88, close to 90% of fulfillment, I hope. So we'll be in pretty good shape. The other thing to mention about this is when we started the drive, the goal was 550. After the first week, I lowered the goal to 450. And that was nothing to do with anything except a morale shift. It makes it easy for the on-air programs to see those numbers get closer. Because I knew we were going to make the 550 that way before the end of the drive. The 450. So when the drive ended, we were very close. We were, it's on here somewhere where we came in. I can't remember. Anyway, so we were short, but we were very close to the 450. And just like last year at the year-end fund drive, which is my favorite fund drive because of the ingredient of taxes and the whole thing about, you know, pledge now and get your tax deduction and all that stuff. The wonderful website, it's been doing its job. It's paid for itself so many times already. But we pulled in $100,000 from the end of the drive, December 16th, till December 31st, all on the website, which is terrific. So I wanted to let you know that the website has really worked out well for us. And, of course, we're still working on it to evolve it and make it even It's died on me. Oh, there it is. Better for us in lots of ways.
Check, check, check.
Okay, I'll stay away from it. We're making some improvements on the database for so that the website and our database system really talk to one another.
Is it a bad cable? Check, check.
Okay, so you guys will have one microphone, and you guys will have one microphone, and just put that to sleep. We won't worry about it.
Sorry about that. What I was talking about was our problem with the radio station still is the Memphis system we use is so out of date and ridiculous that it doesn't speak to what we need to do. So we're working on that. We're trying to get that set up so that everything is talking to one another. Okay. Yeah, Salesforce is too much money. We've already investigated Salesforce, but we think we found another workaround for us that would be easier to do and cost efficient. Salesforce itself was $50,000 for them just to come in to talk to us a little bit, you know. So, and that was the nonprofit rate. Yeah. So no, that's not going to work. Okay, the PNB. Yeah. Do I have a? It's true. No, it's not. No, it's still no go. Test, test.
No, I can hear him. Yeah, but I don't think it's going to be. Yeah, it's for the recording.
It has to be recorded.
No, I mean over the speaker. So. Let's try
this. Oh, what'd you say, Chris?
I can hear you over the speaker, so I don't know.
It has to be recorded.
I understand that.
Check, check.
Test, test. It's still kind of cutting in and out a little, but I'll press on. Okay. The PNB passed a motion where Pacifica National Office, PNO, would start giving stations credit for SCA revenue retained by PNO over the past years.
What's SCA revenue?
It's on your, do you see the little asterisk right there next to it? Yes, those are... Subcarriers that are on everybody's on transmitters and stuff.
Subsidiary.
Boop. 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 Uh huh.
Okay.
I'll just keep going.
Just keep going.
Okay. So, and where was I? However, to lessen the cash flow impact on the PNO, it is proposed that the central services percentage be increased. You can see the chart. To quote from the email from the National Finance Committee chair, the sum of these new monthly payments is still $115,576, and the $23,000 SCA payments still go to the PNO. So this is revenue neutral as far as the PNO is concerned. PRA is unaffected since the credit doesn't apply to those central services obligations. For the station, the impact varies. Now, to say the impact varies per station is an understatement. For example, under the new formula, WBAI will be saving $50,000 per year in central services payments, despite the fact at the end of 16, they owed $118,000 in unpaid central services and health care premiums. However, KPFA, the only Pacifica station that is not in debt to the PNO, will have an increase of central services payments of 13%, $4,000 a month more, nearly $53,000 a year. So you can check that out on the chart. Now, this increase will wipe away any hard-fought gains of lowering the medical benefits we've been negotiating with the union on and all other small financial victories I've mentioned earlier. This unsound increase will lead KPFA down the same destructive financial path of the other sister stations. First of all, we will be inconsistent in paying the higher rate and will fall behind like the other stations have. We will be forced to add more days to our pledge drive schedule. Cuts, layoffs, resignations of major talent will follow, coupled with the loss of the great progressive voices who frequent our airways because of our talent. And finally, we will be left with less listeners and lower donor income. This is Pacifica's history repeating itself. As general manager for the last 2 years and 6 months, I know this one thing to be true. Our strategy of less fund drives has been successful for KPFA. We've made a sacred bond with our listeners to deliver on our mission and programming, and in turn, they provide our financial support. We have a duty to our listeners who fund us. If we increase our pledge days, it would break that relationship, and I believe that it would be wrong-headed and irresponsible and a true recipe for disaster. End of report.
Questions? Sharon.
Well, I thank you for the report. I appreciate the information that you just shared, but my question goes actually to earlier, and it's just sort of a very simple question. Looking at the holiday pledge drive thing that you put in here, you have two things where it says buy response method and then two of them that say ROL call center. I'm just wondering why there's two for the call center.
I don't know why there's two.
Okay.
To tell you the truth.
Okay, that's fine. I just...
Yeah, yeah. I have no idea.
Okay.
You can ask if you get a...
I'm wondering if one of that could be the phone room and one of that could be the call center that's contracted.
Yeah, it could be.
Could be. Any other questions, comments, Bill?
Well, as far as the water intrusion problem goes, that's going to be another expense. I mean, I would be surprised if, and, you know, Tom can chime in here or Carol. I wouldn't be surprised if that's a $30,000, $50,000 and up, depending on what the fix is expense. So,
in the estimates we've had before, it's ranged between $30,000 and $50,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it could be more.
Yeah. And if the elevator, which if you get in it now, it sounds like the Martin Luther King exhibit at the Yerba Buena. You can hear the water coming down on both sides of the elevator. We have to wait for that to stop, and then the elevator guys have to come and inspect it to see how much damage there is. And we have to get that fixed for obvious reasons, but we also have to get it fixed because the state will come and sanction us. They've done it before. So
we may be looking at some kind of fundraising.
Somewhere
effort.
Between, that could be between $25,000 to $75,000.
Richard, Ahmad, Janet.
Two questions. First of all, does this include raising the studio by a foot?
No.
That doesn't include that at all?
No.
Okay, the other question is...
We found out that would be almost impossible because we would have to shut the station down to do that.
Okay.
They would have to come in and you know, sledgehammer and dig and try to make the foundation deeper. And it's almost impossible because if you go deeper, the walls stop at a certain thing, right? They don't go any further. So if we continue to go down, then there's nothing to support it. So that's out of the question.
What's the fix then? Just making it an extra layer of protection?
Talk to Bill. He's right there. He'll tell you.
Okay. Okay. The other question I have is something that I raised in your office once. Is there any way to make the website come up faster on our computers?
That's what where were you?
I was right here. I was listening to this.
Yeah, like I told you, I think the speed's going to be up by 10, but that's going to work for everybody, not just in-house.
Okay.
That's going to happen
for everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Ahmad?
So one of my major concerns, I was there twice this week.
Sorry, I left you out, Ahmad.
Yeah, I was there twice this week to review the damage of the flooding. It is redundant, but when I was here as the National HR Director, we had this, and I was the interim GM, we had this problem as well. I believe there was a report and recommendation on 2006 about what should be done, and we should take a look at that in more detail.
We are.
The other concern I have from my expertise as an HR person that even before all this happens, my concern from a twofold, from an OSHA perspective, they could shut us down immediately and fine us for money we don't have. The other piece is, one of the things I mentioned when I met with the program director and business manager in Quincy this week is also, one of the things I do as an HR person is I go to the restrooms. First place I go in a building is to the restrooms. And I go to the restrooms to see how they're taken care of because it's a reflection of where people go every day. And to their break rooms. And if that's not taken care of, then the people feel demoralized. they feel not engaged. So you can imagine going to work and you have to wear the same rain gear you wear outside, inside, at KPFA. How would you feel as an employee there? So, you know, moving down the line, at some point I'll talk about this again from a treasurer's report, but that is just, we should be embarrassed. We spend so much time on emails. We spend so much time in meetings, finance committee till 11 o'clock at night, and PNB meetings, running around talking about point of order. The point of order is take care of your house. Point of information is take care of your house and your people. We talk about being, some of us, leftists, progressives. We talk about putting down Donald Trump, and we can't even take care of our own stuff. Point of order.
Okay, point of order, since I guess I'm supposed to be doing timekeeping and I didn't realize that. I just want to clarify, what is the time that we're going to have for people that are on the board to speak that you want me to set the time for?
2 minutes or 3 minutes?
2 minutes.
How many for 2 minutes?
Two.
How many for three? Two it is.
Okay. I will be timing people.
Okay, thank you. Next I had Janet. Could you pass down the...
I'm going to try this one again.
Okay.
Okay, so I think it was at the November LSB meeting I had asked you about staff meetings that some staff members were saying there had been two since you started, and you said that there were four and you were going to send the dates, and that hasn't happened. What I wanted to ask in addition to that was, when is your next staff meeting scheduled?
We're planning a staff meeting in February. We're putting the itinerary together for it now, because there's going to be a bunch of changes in fund drive. There's going to be announcements about evaluations that are going to be going on. So it's quite substantial. So as soon as we finish putting that together, we're going to announce the date and have it. It may even happen during the drive. We're trying to plan it before the drive because we want to change the way we're doing business in a lot of ways. It's one of the reasons why we moved the Grateful Dead thing to the end, just to shake things up and make things more accessible. But we also want to do some training with our OACs and things like that to make it easier for programmers. And so there's a bunch of brainstorming going on right now, but once we get that together, we'll put an agenda together and have the meeting. I think one of the reasons why a lot of people don't show up at some of the meetings is because we do have agendas, and we're trying to just take care of business and move the place forward. I think a lot of these meetings in the past have been places where people get in and just argue and yell at one another and get all factional, but I don't play that, so it's a little different. That's what's happening.
So I don't think I had my 2 minutes. I just wanted to add something. So I wanted to appreciate you for providing membership data in order to rerun the 2016 election with the write-ins disaggregated. Thank you.
Anthony.
Good morning or afternoon, Quincy. Three questions, starting with the small and moving to the large. Is that new Wi-Fi system in place now? Because what I'm hearing from people is that they're complaining that the Wi-Fi is not working.
No, it's working. I think some people don't have the password. We had to make it, when we first put it on, it was so strong that the neighborhood was just grabbing it. Everybody was using it. So it's password protected. So if you ask anybody, you can get it. You can get the password, and that way it will be much stronger for you. But we'll be putting an announcement about that, too.
Because I've heard this from staff. So.
Well, I've also heard that it's doing really well, and everybody's smiling, and we're getting on the website and everything quicker. So.
Actually.
Yeah.
Now, the much bigger question, of course.
And you got to remember, most of the staff is connected into the regular system of the radio station, which mm-hmm. is quite antiquated. So that's why they're still having problems. And mm-hmm. there's only a few of us that come in. Actually, there's only people that come in and use the Wi-Fi are usually listeners that come in or you know, people who are going to go on the air, and myself. I mean, I'm only connected to Wi-Fi at the radio station, and it works fabulously for me.
Mm-hmm. And next question is regarding finances. Of course, late last year we had that rather apocalyptic staff memo saying that the station might be shut down by the holidays.
That's right.
Well, here we are, and we're still here. So in a
only
in
because
a nutshell,
of the blessing. I think I've talked about this at the meeting back in November. Like I've said before, I've always been amazed by the truly, truly greatness of our listeners, how they've opened up their pocketbooks to us, and they've continued to do it. I don't think Donald Trump has much to do with that. I really think it's about what Ms. Wellborn talked about, who one of the people, by the way, who actually saved us. When we were in a position at one point where we couldn't make payroll, and I got a note from Ms. Wellborn a while ago, and she wrote on a little piece of paper that got to me that said, look, you know, here's my donation, but if you guys run into trouble, she said it's okay for me to talk about. I'm not going to say any numbers or anything. But, you know, need your help. And she was one of the first people that I was able to go to. The other thing I did, and which I talked about, and I've even talked about it on the radio in promos, is that we have a group of people who are former board members and people that really love the radio station that worked with us to raise money outside of regular, you know, regular off-air stuff to help us go after listeners and after former donors who helped us. So we got a lot of donations that put us back in shape. I mean, the numbers are all available. So I mean, if you really want to go look, go to Maria's office and you can mm-hmm. see where all that money came in that saved our ass.
But
third question.
Well, if you would have said we were at that 3 minutes to midnight in October or November, you know, we're not in clover now.
It's a touch of the dramatic. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. But we were in trouble. And that was the truth. And when we were hurting, and we went on there and told the truth and said, hey, we may not be here. And that was a fact. It could have easily happened, or it could have been a different type of KPFA.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, years ago and for decades, as far as I know, going back to the 70s perhaps, there was a program council, and it did a number of things. But among its functions was it was a portal for people to come in and say, hey, I want to do a show on this kind of music or to talk about something like that.
Yeah.
Now, absent that, if someone who's not already in KPFA or acquainted with someone who's inside KPFA, how do they go about coming in and saying, I'd like to do a show? And where
they
is
they talk
is
to the program director.
But where is that publicized? Is that on the website?
It is on a website, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Carol, did you have something to say? Please pass Carol the microphone.
Yeah, Quincy, I wanted to check about this part where you talk about trying to create and incorporate an algorithm system to cross-promote upcoming shows throughout our programming schedule in a timely way. So one of the things I've always been wanting is when there's a really important show to me that I know that people I know would be interested in seeing, I would like to be able to post that, like, say, Sabrina does a show on Rude Awakening that's a great show, and we want people in the community to know about it to build our listenership. So is what you're doing here, will it allow us to post on Facebook or Twitter individual shows?
It's going to be a little bit more extensive than that. Of course, that's an easier way to do it, but we're trying to set it up so that it also works with the website as well as on air. We want promos to run announcing what the next hour's program is going to be. I mean, it's the way that it's set up now at KPFA. It could be Monday night that you're listening, and they'll run a promo for something that's happening on Friday or Saturday morning. It's more important to promote the shows that are coming right behind, but it's also important to promote what's happening the next day. So the way the promo system has been there for years and years and years, where all the announcements are on the top of the hour, right? You got 60 seconds to tell people. So usually you're getting one promo at a time. We've broken that up by 30-second promos where we can do two at a time up there. But we're going to institute a new program where people will be adding music and parts of their shows at the half an hour so that we can drop in more promos. So we'll have a chance to, you know, have announcements going on two parts of the hour. It's more important for us to do that. Another thing that we want to incorporate with that is that, you know, we have that great teletype on the bottom of the website where we link to different events and link to different things that are going on. We want to be able to use the website more, too. That's where the algorithm part of it comes in. So we're working with the website guys to try to devise something where we can have it will show what's the upcoming show that's coming on. And if those people want to program in who their guests will be, it will come up automatically. So there's lots of things like that that we're trying to create. It takes time and it takes money. So,
but we would be able to post to Facebook each individual show, because right now the Facebook symbol posts just one show a day.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But we want, we would, but it will be individual.
That's what we're trying to come up with, a way to do it.
Lisa, I want to note for the record that both Andrea Turner and Lisa Detmer have arrived. Lisa.
Well, thank you, Quincy, for, I guess I came in late, but it sounds like you're going to be having a staff meeting?
In February.
Okay. I really appreciate that. I know we've been talking with you for 2.5 years trying to get more regular staff meetings. I'm sorry that you feel that the staff meetings are just people wanting to bitch. That hasn't been.
I feel the old ones were like that. Mine have not been like that.
Okay, but my point is I didn't experience the old ones that way. I've been here for 15 years, so I thought that they were useful.
Well, that's what I was told.
Right, but my experience.
But go ahead and ask your question.
My personal experience has been that they were useful to disseminate information. And so for me, some of the concerns are more dissemination of information. Like, for instance, you talked about the Wi-Fi now having a password. So I came in over the weekend, couldn't connect to the Wi-Fi. I didn't have a password. How is the passwords being disseminated? There's not an ongoing way of communicating with the 200 of us who are come and go there. It's the same way when the issue around SoundForge, which is, for those people who don't know, is our editing software, disappeared. And I came in over the weekend to edit, and there was Acoustica, which is a free software. So it took months to get SoundForge again. You know, so this is where I think staff meetings and other ways of communicating with the staff can be really important, because I think the morale of the station is really important for us to do fundraising. I think people wanting to be more involved in fundraising outside of their shows is really important. There are 200 amazing unpaid staff people there who have connections in the community, and some of whom are doing things like Anita and other people, who would love to all be a part of this, rowing the boat in the same direction. So I guess my question is, just to get to my question, is what can we do to make communication more effective and bring people in to be working in the same direction towards fundraising? I really appreciate the things you're doing, but again, disseminating information.
That was the time signal, by the way.
Right, communication. Those are my questions.
Yeah, communication is always a problem. Trying to get the word out on everything to everybody. We're just going to have to try to do a better job of it. We'll have to come up with better ways to do it. I guess the staff meetings is probably one way, but there should be some sort of newsletter or something. We've been thinking about doing that, not just a newsletter out to listeners all the time, but a newsletter to the staff as to any kind of things like Mitch getting the award or any other things like that that happen. A lot of stuff falls through the crack. To go back to your SoundForge thing, everybody else was, we were all just as surprised as that as everybody else, because that was done by engineering without talking to anyone. So there are those problems of communications too that we're dealing with. But I totally, I hear you, and we'll be working on those things. I know you got to go.
Okay, I think that, TM has something to say. I thought we were concluding this, but no.
No. to answer your implied question. So Quincy, the meeting, that's with paid staff and then also unpaid staff?
Yes, everyone.
Okay. How many unpaid staff? I know there was a concern before that to have meetings with unpaid staff, is that be happening on a regular basis throughout the year?
Yeah, everybody's invited.
Yeah, they all come on in.
Yeah.
It. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. We are now moving to Janet, I believe, is going to do the major PNB report. And we also have Lewis here, but Janet, I think, has a lot to say.
Is there a time limit on this?
No, although I think we do have, you know, we do want to get to the elections and so forth. But how long is your report?
I don't know, maybe 10 minutes.
All right. Let's say that you have 10 minutes, which is a long time, and then we'll decide whether or not we're going to give you more time or not. So try and aim for 10.
Okay, but let me just start with that point of personal privilege. The parking on Hearst, right across from here, used to be unlimited on Saturdays, but they've changed that. And so I'm going to have to leave by 1 to, or a little bit before, to move my car. Maybe other people have that, too.
That's anyway. Not personal privilege, but that's all right. Thanks for the
just
info.
Just to let you know. And okay.
Right.
All right. So what I'm going to do is talk about selected highlights from 9 PNB meetings going back to October 6th. So I might as well start. I mean, I haven't reported on those since since the last time. Okay, so at the regular PNB meeting on October 6th, there was a discussion of the 2016 election. The NES was invited but did not attend the meeting. The process for the 2017 affiliate directors nominations was approved. So those are highlights from that meeting. October 13th, it was a special meeting. It was a follow-up on WBAI issues with WBAI LSB members invited as guests during the meeting, and they participated. They gave input. November 3rd, regular meeting. PNB approved the date to have the 2017 affiliates directors election, and that was it approved December 15th for that to happen. November 10th, another special meeting. There was a discussion of Pacifica's subcarrier agreements, SCAs. December 1st, there was a regular meeting. And the process for interviewing the 2017 affiliates director candidates at the December 15th meeting was approved. And also that January 26th, 2017 would be the date the 2017 PNB will be seated. And the PNB remote access policy for LSBs and delegate assemblies was approved. Then December, and that policy prohibits LSBs from using remote access. December 13th was a special meeting. The PNB approved the 2014 audit, and it was posted on the Pacifica website on January 11th. It took some time. There were some technical issues and other issues, but in any case, it's there, and this came up before. And a motion for a recount of the 2016 delegate elections ballots with valid write-ins disaggregated was approved. Because that had not happened. Only 3 from 3 stations, 1 from each of 3 stations, had been disaggregated. And there were many, many more. And they were all lumped together. And so it went out again. So it not only disenfranchised voters who wrote in, but it also when it comes to runners-up. There were other runners-up that should have been included. And we have 2 years of before the next election, so we need runners-up. But still, they should have been counted. So, okay, more on this in a moment. December 15th, the 2017 affiliates director candidates, nominees, were interviewed. And an STV voting protocol for the 2017 affiliates director's election was approved. There were five nominees, and there are two seats. Every year this happens, to elect two affiliates directors to the PNB. So it's an STV vote, and Temba Shibanda and Afia Nwangaza were reelected subsequent to that meeting. January 5th, there was a regular meeting, and a motion regarding election complaints and reports was approved, and basically that spells out the reporting requirements and timeline for posting the 2016 election ballot data. So what the bylaws say is that all the ballots from elections, the NES is to send them to the secretary, the PNB secretary, and I'm the PNB secretary. They were sent to the national office, the paper ballots by true ballot. And in one of, but because we had online voting, that's there wasn't any paper for that. So data for that was put on two CDs, and it wasn't just that data; it was all other data. And because when I went to the national office and found these boxes of ballots, paper ballots, I was looking for that data, and to see, because the online ballots should also be with the secretary, holding them for 3 years. That's what the bylaws say. So I looked on the discs and tried to figure out what was on them, and I mean, there are a whole bunch of files, and I communicated with Kenny Mostern from True Ballot, who had created these discs. And that's when I discovered the write-ins, the files with the write-ins that were aggregated. And anyway, so that's when that led to the recount motion. January 12th, this was the last meeting. It was on Thursday. It was a continuation meeting of the January 5th open meeting. And the PNB basically rendered the December 17, 2016 KPFA LSB remote access policy that was passed at that meeting null and void. And I emailed that to all of you. It also rendered the December 17th, 2016 motion regarding the KPFA LSB repudiating PNB motions and censoring a director, me, null and void. And then another thing that happened was that a motion was approved regarding the election rerun to budget $1,500 in the national office budget for the IED to pay someone to do the actual recount with the valid write-ins disaggregated. And also, all right, that's it for now.
Lewis, did you have something you wanted to add? Could somebody give Lewis the Janet? Or, okay, there we go.
Okay, this is from Member Margie Wilkinson. Dear friends, I apologize for not being with you today. I wanted to let you know that while I attended the PNB meeting on January 5th, where a motion directing the KPFA LSB not to hold this retreat was defeated, I was not able to attend the meeting on January 12th, where the motion which Janet Coburn has circulated was passed. The January 12th meeting was scheduled as a continuation meeting at the January 5th meeting. Of the January 5th meeting, I had already made plans for January 12th, and that made it impossible for me to attend. I'm sorry that PNB is focused on chastising KPFA instead of dealing with the hard issues facing Pacifica. Moving forward, I have every confidence that you will make good decisions in the best interest of KPFA and Pacifica. Affectionately, Margie Wilkinson. And I would like to add that at this time I am one of the displaced persons due to the housing crisis in the Bay Area, and therefore I'm going to withdraw as a candidate for the Pacifica National Board because I cannot truly commute from South Lake Tahoe, where I'm presently sheltering, and therefore cannot really discharge my duties and support with effectiveness.
Okay, so on discussion of the reports, Bill Campisi.
Well, it is my view as a lawyer that after the election was certified, the PNB had no authority or power to do anything about the election. The state statutes control that. If there was a problem with how the write-ins were handled, that should have been dealt with before certification. Not only should it have been dealt with before certification, it should have been dealt with before the vote started.
Right.
There should have been an algorithm that said we were going to do the write-ins this way. So the fact that you discovered them later, I'm not criticizing you for that in that sense. I mean, everybody has too much work to do for this organization, and there isn't enough people to do it. But nonetheless, since we paid $100,000 or $150,000, the people who were running the election should have said, how do you want us to handle the write-ins? I mean, why are they just simply aggregating them and counting them all as one vote? So the PNB had absolutely no legal authority to mess with the vote after the vote was certified, regardless of whether they aggregated or disaggregated the ballots. It's over. And you do us a disservice. You've been acting against the interests of KPFA since you took the job. You do not communicate with us. You do not ask us what we want. You just act on your own. And I think it's atrocious how you've behaved.
No, we've got Tim and Sharon. We'll give you a chance to talk.
So I also would like to echo Bill's point, and that is certification means nothing if it can be taken back. There is no certification is a meaningless designation if it's up for grabs at any point, right? Certification is the end of discussion, not the beginning of discussion. So if the election's been certified, it's done. I also think that the PNB has absolutely no authority to tell us who we can censure and who we cannot censure. As representing our interests here at the local station. We may be a standing committee, but we are an independent committee in the sense that we will decide who represents us, how we're represented, and whether we feel that our representation is appropriate or inappropriate. And it's daddy can't come in here and tell us how you feel is it's not allowed. I also think that I have a question for Janet, and that is, you on this report you said, we discussed the subcarrier authority and we discussed the central services. period. You didn't tell us what it would mean, so it's a meaningless report. When we find out now that the subcarrier and central services changes actually greatly negatively affects KPFA's finances, I have to ask, did you consider the impact on KPFA when discussing this? Did you see your duty as representative of KPFA, or was your duty more towards the interests of the Pacifica National Office? And how did you vote on the change that negatively impacts KPFA?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to get a couple of more people talking. If you would write down your questions, Janet, after three questions have come, we'll let you respond, and then we'll go forward. Sharon.
Okay. At the December 1st PNB meeting, there was an Appendix K to the agenda, which was a motion regarding the PNB secretary, which was to, and that is you on the PNB, and it provides for you to get paid for your work acting as secretary. And I just want to point out that since you do love the bylaws, that Article 5, Section 9 specifically states that directors shall serve without compensation. So here is this motion to Janet, I'll quote, since you're shaking your head no, Janet Cobren has been serving as PNB secretary without financial compensation, and she requests this remain the case. Okay, any financial compensation for the work of the secretary would go to others. Okay, well, I guess I didn't quite read this fully, but point remains, don't get paid for that.
Nobody should be paid.
I had one question. Usually, Christina, I would like you to sit next to me so that you can take over if I have a question, because technically, okay. But I have a question about when you were looking at the ballots and so on, were you doing that by yourself, or was there somebody there with you who had other interests at stake? Okay, I think you've got three questions. Go for it. I think the microphone is behind your computer there.
All right, so as far as the election certification, the PNB did not vote to decertify or anything. It just rerun of the ballots with the write-ins disaggregated would basically affect the runners-up in a regular election when anybody who doesn't win is basically discarded. At Pacifica, that's not the case. We have runners-up, alternates, same thing. That's in our bylaws. And so the NES did not instruct the True Ballot to run the ballots properly, those write-ins. So this would not decertify, it would just provide us with runners-up. Anyway, there's no plans to decertify the election, and the IED made a statement. I sent this out to all of you. And she starts out by saying the 2016 delegates elections have been certified by the National Election Supervisor, and there are no plans to decertify those elections. This means those listed as elected have been seated and voting for PNB directors shall proceed as planned. However, as you can see from the PNB Secretary Janet Cobren's report, there is a need to rerun the data, which in all probability will only affect alternates list. And then she goes on. In any case, it's not going to involve any kind of decertification or recertification. So that's about that. As far as the subcarriers, the meeting, I didn't attend that meeting, so I didn't vote. And I mean, I didn't write, so I can't really respond to that. And as far as my looking at the ballots. I mean, I was looking at the discs and at the national office and trying to understand what's on these discs. And I also, in order to find these, the write-ins and all the other things. And I did also look at them with one of the people here at the table at one point, and so that's the answer to the last question.
So, were those documents PFD? You know, are they? Could you change those documents?
The files on the two disks are zip files, so that's what they are. I mean, that's what true ballot. Well, you unzip them, you can, you know, they actually aren't right protected, and they should be,
So the answer is yes.
But I didn't, you know, anybody can unzip and look at the ballots also.
I know, but so, it's also true that it means that they can be tampered with.
And that's what's going to happen is that Jonathan Alexander, who is with the IT department, is going to take those files and post them from the disks and unzip them himself and post them for Pacifica.
Well, in any case, I didn't ask you that. I asked if they could be tampered with, and if anybody was with you who was from, you know, some other side, you said they could be tampered with, and nobody was with you. And I think the question was, I thought there was a question with you on the central services increase to KPFA, how you voted on that. That was my understanding of the vote. You were not at that vote?
I'm not sure which vote that was and when. I'm sorry, I don't remember. I don't remember.
So you don't remember voting on the central services changes? You were not at that meeting?
I might have been at that meeting. I don't
okay,
remember.
Okay, so you were unconscious of the impact on your station?
I don't remember is different from being unconscious.
Okay, well, you're unconscious now. Okay, Carol, Carol?
What?
Lisa.
Did you call me unconscious now?
Yes, you're saying that you don't know about now what the impact of the money was that you voted for or didn't vote for. Carol.
I wanted to go ahead with my question.
Yes, please do.
My concern is that, and I want to thank Emily Sykes for coming from Marin. I think people in the Pacifica community are concerned about trying to work with the emergency situation we have now. So it seems to me that paying for the audits and getting the kind of equipment that we need to process our financial information are urgent. We have a water crisis in the elevator and in the building, and so it's hard for me to understand the thinking that goes behind prioritizing. Using any money for reviewing an election that has been certified. So I wonder how you set your priorities.
All right. This section is to finish up a discussion on Janet's report. We have another section which is talking about the crisis in Pacifica and how is Pacifica behaving. So comments about, you know, like how is it functioning and so on. I would appreciate it if we would hold those for a minute. And Lisa, do you have a direct question for Janet on her report? Somebody give Lisa a mic.
So my question is actually just more of a request. Can we kind of keep the temperature down a little bit in here? I'm not really part of this previous history, and I know there's other people who are not either, and it's not clarifying for me what's going on. So
okay.
If we could just keep it down to what I don't know what the big issue is, if the issue is, I don't want to have it get into ad hominems, and let's just have a discussion of the issues.
I apologize. And if you don't mind, I would like to go to the second part of this, unless you have a particular thing for Janet.
Well, there's
one item that one person asked about whether the subcategory issue affected the national office income. And Janice said that she was not at that meeting and she didn't vote on it. So, you know, there's no reason to have a follow-up question on that.
I have a question.
Okay. I'll use the microphone.
Yeah. What I don't understand, and I'd like you to answer, is why couldn't you or any PNB person in the future rep from KPFA make a two-paragraph or three-paragraph report on each of these meetings that you attended and post it on the Pacifica website? So if someone wanted to see what happened at a Pacifica meeting, the PNB that you attended, we could see what you did, what happened at the meeting, know how you voted. That way you wouldn't have to tell us you don't remember now, et cetera. I just don't understand, and one of the things I've been very aggravated about is the lack of communication between the people on the PNB and the board, from our PNB people on the board. I think it's been terrible. And so was there some reason you couldn't have just made reports, short reports?
I think that's a rhetorical question, and that's for everybody on the board. And what I would like to do is go to the second part of this PNB discussion. And an evaluation. And I just want to open it up by saying that what we have been talking about at the KPFA LSB, really, I would say starting from last May or maybe starting from last January, was the concern that we had about the fragility of the Pacifica and the relationship of Pacifica to KPFA structurally, the governance structure of Pacifica, the financial structure, the financial entwining, the governance that is way too big, way too cumbersome, has the clear lines of authority, the structure that has a mix between a centralized and a decentralized organization, which leads to no capacity to govern and to discrete groups endangering the financial viability of other groups without any ability to affect those relationships. So we have here at KPFA been spending a lot of time on that, and all of you who are on the board know that, and know that we've been trying to think of all kinds of approaches to this structurally, and that I think that we've just scratched the surface on different ideas for approaches, but we've at least understood the problems in a way that I think that we haven't before. And none of this is reflected in the PNB meetings. And I just want to, again, as part of our thinking, point to the subject matter of the last meetings of the PNB, not dealing with the crisis, with plans, with what are we doing? What are we doing with $7 million of debt? No money for director's insurance. Four of the five stations not being self-sustaining. The judgment of a court that whisked in and took $95,000 out of KPFK because payments that had been scheduled to be paid to some debtor that would have prevented that from happening were not made because there was not the money to do that. The delays on paying the auditing, being now at least 1 year behind on audits, and in May will be 2 years behind on audits, having shrinking memberships in all the major media markets, on not having an executive director last for more than 5 months in the last several years who was paid, no stable leadership, no CFO currently, dysfunctional bickering, the price of audits being more than audits should cost because there is not the ability to get the financial information from all of the five stations, although KPFA has always been good and excellent on that. But the other stations not doing that and not even having a unified accounting system across the network because you can't pay for training and you can't pay for doing that, that we endangered and helped kill free speech radio news. And none of this is the subject matter of the PNB. The PNB is I don't even understand what they're looking at. Our remote policy and stuff that's already been certified, and no attention to the big picture. And so I just wanted to open up as part of our process, because we're going to have to, over the next months, seeing on what happens with the new PNB and seeing if it's able to function more and to keep an eye on it, to figure out what the options are. You know, there's no clear path to options. But anyway, so I wanted to open that discussion. Bill Campisi.
So I want to talk about what I think of as an example of what Carol was talking about. Someone told me that the Empire State Building had brought a lawsuit against Pacifica on the transmitter lease for WBAI. So, you know, 50,000 WBAI Pacifica owes the Empire State Building transmitter people 50 grand a month that's not being paid. The only reason that WBAI is staying on the air is because essentially we're borrowing $50,000 a month from this lessor for a station that has 6,000 members. So I'm looking around, and what I come across is I can't find that lawsuit, but I come across a judgment for $240,000, two judgments, one for $212,000 and one for $17,500. That was issued in July of 2016. And I'm thinking, wow, there's a judgment against Pacifica for two judgments for $240,000, and I haven't heard anything about that? I wonder who else hasn't heard anything about that. And I'm thinking, wow, who would know about a judgment of that size against our organization? Well, our IED probably knows, but she didn't tell us. And it turns out that some other people knew, but they weren't talking. So the person, the holder of the judgment is a guy in New York who's on the PNB. His name is Steve Brown, and he's a millionaire, a multimillionaire. So I started digging around to find out what happened. So a programmer in New York was terminated, and Steve Brown was sued by him, and Pacifica was sued by this programmer for racial bias, discrimination in firing. So what should have happened, and Steve Brown was right about this, is he should have gotten out of the lawsuit immediately. But because of politics, I think, the way it looks to me, because of the way the politics work in the organization and govern business decisions, he wasn't gotten out of the lawsuit. He had to defend himself. He racked up $125,000 in attorney's fees. He tried to get Pacifica to pay for it. It wouldn't pay for it. So then he hired more attorneys. He brought the lawsuit that doubled it. That's how he got the judgment. So had he been, had people at Pacifica said, instead of saying, oh, F Steve Brown, we're not going to defend him. He brought this on himself by opening his big mouth. But had a true business decision been made, this guy could rack up attorney's fees. It could cost us a lot of money, whether we like him or we don't like him. We got to get him out of the lawsuit immediately. That would have been a business decision made by an attorney, as opposed to people with a lot of attitude about who's doing what because of what side of the, you know. Okay. So that's the problem. The problem is that the organization is run politically. It's not run based on business. It's one thing to set long-term policy goals. I'll be done in a second, and have basic principles. But in the day-to-day activity, it has to be business, and that's why we need a reorganization.
Thank you. And Sharon's next.
Point of personal privilege. There is such a thing. Well, I'm going to be stepping out to move my car, and I'll be back.
That's a point of order.
point of information. But anyway, start my time. I totally second everything that Bill said. You know, you read those lawsuits, it's just like, they're public records. Anyone can find them, just like Bill did. And it's astounding to read the ridiculousness that led to that judgment for Steve Brown that Pacifica now has to pay. And I believe he intends to collect. Otherwise, he would not have gone through hiring another attorney to, like, bring the summary judgment motion and have this whole thing get a judgment. So I just want to second that. But I also want to say, you know, that the PNB has been spending a lot of time talking about, you know, our local station board alleged violations of the open meeting rules. And I wish Janet were here, because I'd like to ask her, when was the last time that the PNB actually had an open meeting where the public was allowed to speak, which is in the bylaws that they must have 1 hour at every regular meeting to speak. And so if she called, I noticed she specifically called the January 5th meeting a, quote, regular meeting. And I do not believe the public was allowed to speak. So, you know, you talk about bylaws violation, well, they're doing it. So I think that what we all should try to do is make the organization functional and stop fighting it with each other over minor issues.
Brian.
Just really quickly, I loved your soliloquy summary, but we don't have a plan, as I understand, to save the KPFA archives either, or do we? That's Pacifica Archives. That's my question.
It's the Pacifica Archives. We do have a plan, but we don't have the authority. The PNB does, and the PNB has not been dealing with it. It's another item it's not dealt with. You're absolutely right. Richard?
That also, we have to talk about AudioPort, which Carol mentioned to me last weekend, that AudioPort is a key component of the Pacifica and the whole network that needs to be dealt with. I mean, a lot of programs are sent out to hundreds of stations via AudioPort.
Okay. Does anybody who has not spoken yet want to speak? Because then we're going to go into elections pretty fast. Bill, you want to make another point?
Right. So what discussions are being had across the network is about whether it's possible to have a Pacifica that manages five geographically disparate stations. Is it really possible for us to do that? And certainly whether or not we need a new structure to try to do that with, or would it be better to have five independent stations that are governed locally, where the people meet around the table like we meet around the table and deal with the issues in their local area face to face and get to know one another and attempt to run their stations themselves and become more effective in their local market, so that actually the reorganization of Pacifica is to dissolve Pacifica, share the assets, pay off the debts, and then enter into affiliation agreements where we can share programming, we may share in auditors, we may share legal services, but management is local, because people actually, as far as I can tell, they talk about Pacifica, but they actually like local control. And they certainly like local control over programming. And so maybe the model that we have is just too difficult now with the internet and the change in the media market. And we should really be thinking about the idea of helping the stations that don't have the money to get a new start and to be managed locally and try to work through an affiliation structure. And, of course, sometimes when I've been talking about this across the network with various people, people get really upset with me. But it, you know, the organization is not functional. It's not functioning. So something has to be done.
I'll call on Carol after I make a comment abusing my position as chair, which is that I think what Bill just argued is for one particular model, or was leaning toward an argument toward one particular model. I think it would be useful that one of the board meetings that we decide, one of the upcoming KPFA LSBs, is we have a discussion about local versus national, financial disentanglement, the various structures, really focusing so that we as a group can have a shared understanding. Even if we don't come to agreement, we understand what all the issues and choices are and all this stuff. Carol.
Thank you. When I think about it, it looks to me like we're dealing with a very chaotic and challenging situation, because we don't know what is going to be the effect of this tight Republican-Trump FCC. So I think about it a lot. What do we have? What is going to give us the greatest potential of having independent media through the resources that we have? And I think we don't really know right now, because all kinds of things can happen. But I think that our working together and talking with other people in other stations and across different groups is really important. And I think we need to set our priorities and figure out what are the essential things that we need to do. And I think looking at AudioPort and how do we work with AudioPort, and looking at the archives, and working with getting financially stable and in those processes, and trying to get a PNB today elected, you know, where we have a governing body that is as functional as it can be for the next 100 days, because this is a crucial time.
Lisa and Sharon, and then I think we might go to elections. Lisa? Okay, Sharon.
Makes the microphone easier. I just want to say, just every time I hear, like, what I heard about the subcarrier thing, you know, basically the point was that the financial, you know, result, the PNB is, no, to the national office is the same. They get the same amount of money coming in. So it's kind of like this financial manipulation where KPFA now is supposed to pay more. I mean, that's basically the bottom line of what that decision was. And, you know, it makes it easy, you know, because we are sort of four votes on the PNB, you know, that will happen. And I want to point out that, of course, the bylaws were written with a point of increasing democracy, but what we see is kind of like the Senate. You know, certain stations have equal representation, even though they have much fewer membership. So their members are getting a much larger vote within our alleged democracy. And that's why something like WBAI with 6,000 or 7,000 members, it can rack up, I believe it's racking up $40,000 debt per month, because it's paying $12,000 each month for the transmitter. Okay, it was. So anyway, and in these cross-station dialogues that Bill has been on and I have been on, the proposals coming out of WBAI are to have a fund drive to pay for the audit, a fund drive across all the stations to pay for the audit or to pay for them, a local management agreement, which would basically take WBAI out of control of the people there. But there's no real financial solutions. There's no actual solution that's being proposed to deal with the problem that they have 6,000 members and they're racking up debt every month. And their inability to grasp this is really what's driving KPFA, you know, into financial trouble. And then they get mad at us and say we are being all elitist or whatever they say about us. I don't want to put words in their mouths, but stuff comes at us. And I don't know. I agree, Carol. We have to talk about this, you know, seriously at a KPFA board meeting.
Lisa. So my understanding is we can't separate from Pacifica without a election that's wide, that's based on an election that happens with all the stations, right? So,
well, I mean, if we go into bankruptcy, which can only be done voluntarily by a nonprofit, or if we sued for dissolution and went into a court, or you know, they began seizing assets and things, and then directors had, you know. So,
I see.
Yes and no.
Okay.
Or, you know. Or all the bylaws were changed. I mean, because that's a
right,
bylaw.
Right, but to change the bylaws, you would have to have a vote. But you're talking about taking some legal action to force a separation.
Unless the new board, you know, I mean, we're raising these as possible menus of choices. The new board may behave differently and actually begin to do some things.
Okay.
Just a point of information, Lisa. There's a statute, California Corporations Code 6510. If one-third of the membership of a nonprofit organization brings a lawsuit to dissolve the corporation under certain conditions, then you go into Superior Court and you file that lawsuit. We have about one-third of the membership. You can also, the AG can also bring a lawsuit under that statute, Attorney General.
The attorney.
Under that statute and move to dissolve a corporation also.
And what about just pursuing that they haven't, that they've mismanaged their fiduciary duty? It says right here in the bylaws that if any debts, liabilities, or obligations are the direct result of intentional misconduct by a director, officer, or delegate, they can be held personally liable.
It's hard to prove intentional
conduct. I know it's hard to prove
intentional. There's California law that has to do with director's liability, individual liability, that says that unless they made a direct personal signing on some liability, they don't carry that liability in California under nonprofit corporate code. However, they might still have to hire a lawyer to take that position for them in court and accrue that legal debt. And that that's what Steve Brown's debt was, an accruement of a legal debt, and then he sued us for his lawyer fee.
Well, just point of information, Carol, actually, a director can be a director of a nonprofit who acts in bad faith.
Okay, in bad faith. And individually.
Yeah, can be held individually.
Okay. Tim and Tom, and I'm really interested in getting to the election of the PNB people, but Tim.
Just to speak to Lisa's point, I think one of the fears that a lot of us have is that there will be some sort of legal action taken by one of our creditors that will get out in front of our opportunity to control the dissolution. If the dissolution comes from the actions of the Empire State Building or something, then we'll be on the defensive end rather than on the controlling side of any litigation. And I think Carol's point that the Trump FCC is coming in should not be, if we're going to get out in front of this, I think we have to do it either immediately or it's going to have to wait like 4 years, right? Because putting our license up before that federal board is, it carries risks, shall we say. Okay, I'll leave it at that. Thanks.
All right, this is going to go down a rabbit hole of a long conversation.
Just one point of information. I've talked to two attorneys about those concerns. Both of those attorneys say that the FCC is barred by law from interfering with the transfer of a radio license from a transferor to a transferee if the transferee meets the very minimum requirements of the FCC to hold a license. The FCC can, and there's a reason for that. It's called the First Amendment. The FCC cannot get involved in deciding who should have a license or not, except if they meet minimal technical requirements. They're not allowed to under law.
There we go. Tom?
Yeah, whatever is eventually decided, however we're going to proceed, Please do not forget the survival of the affiliates program, which is very, very valuable to the rest of the country and the affiliates. Programming goes both directions on that. Not only do the affiliates pick up Pacifica programming, but Pacifica picks up programming from the affiliates.
Okay, I'd like a motion for a recess. Second. All in favor, please signify. Yeah, raise your hands. All opposed. We are now in recess, and we are now convened officially as the KPFA Delegates Council. What?
Can we take 5 minutes right now?
Well, until the election is finished. And then we have a break, and then we come back as the LSB. Okay. All right. So we're delegates. We're, oh, can we have a break now? No. Yes. Well, let's just take the things and have the break while somebody's doing the counting. And okay, so we have already, we have, as Aki, you want to say who all the people who are running are?
Okay, so we'll do the two director selection, the listener and the staff. And I'm just going to go quickly through the, well, just as a formality. Sharon? And Ahmad? Yes. Bill Campisi? Yes, right.
I'm here.
Okay. Chris Corey?
Here.
And Brian Crowell?
Here.
And Lisa? Is here. No? Yeah. This is Anthony Fest?
Here.
Sasha is not here. Yuri?
Here.
And Kristen Huggins?
Here.
Okay. Sabrina?
Here.
And Janet? David Lynch,
here.
Tim Lynch,
yeah.
Scott Olson,
here.
Louis Sawyer,
here.
TM,
here.
And I'm here, Carol Travis,
yes.
Andrea Turner, yes, yeah, you're there. Tom Buchas,
here.
Craig Williams,
here.
Richard's not here, Carol Wolfrey,
yeah.
And Richard Wurinski. Okay, so only one that's Ahmad, I guess.
He didn't leave.
Okay, all right. So for the staff, we have three names. I just want to make sure that each one is still willing to run. The three names I got is Anthony Fest, Sabrina Jacobs, and Louis Sawyer. And Louis, you said that you're...
I'm withdrawing.
Okay, you're withdrawing.
Because I'm serving the distance I live now.
Okay. Anthony, are you still running?
I'm not.
Okay, Anthony is not running. Sabrina, are you running?
Yes.
Okay, yay. Sabrina.
Now, that saves us
some effort. since there's no contest,
she's Sabrina is declared by acclamation our listener-sponsored PNB delegate. Staff member, I misspoke.
Okay, so now we're going to go into the listener director, and I'm just going to go through the names. So Sharon, William Campisi, Janet Coburn, Aki Tanaka, and Andrea Turner are the five names that were submitted of December 31st. I'm just going to go and check and see if each one is still willing to run. Sharon?
Yep.
Okay. Bill Campisi?
Did you say what?
Yes.
Yes,
yeah.
I had to make a candidate statement at some point.
Right, sure.
Yes, okay.
Okay, Bill Campisi?
Yes.
Okay, Janet Coleman?
Yes.
And Aki Tanaka, yes. And Andrea Turner?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, no, I withdraw.
Okay.
I just withdraw.
All right. So in that case, there are four names, and each person has like 2 minutes to make a...
Bill Campisi. You have to use a microphone. You can't just, you know, make us, we can't hear your...
Well, I mean, by now everybody knows who I am. I mean, I don't really have anything to say. I mean, I'll tell you one thing I want to do. I see the job as being a representative of the board. So I don't, if I possibly can, I want to discuss any position I take on the PNB with the board, you know, so that, you know, I mean, I'll make my views known, but I want to find out what your views are. And the other thing that I feel an obligation to do is if there's a place to do it, I guess through maybe the KPFA closed email system or, you know, a thread or whatever it's called, is to give you at least a couple of paragraphs on what happened at a PNB meeting that I attend, so you know what's going on. And I'll give you my view about
you know, whether I thought the meeting dealt with the stuff that was important or whether it was just a bunch of trivial BS, you know. And just to put it a little bit further, if the PNB is not going to function well, and if we don't get an ED that functions well, and if it doesn't look like the national organization is going to start functioning well, I'm going to tell you that. And then my view is we, KPFA, should decide whether or not we bring a dissolution lawsuit as either a means to reorganize Pacifica, as basically a lever, saying to the rest of the stations, reorganize the national structure, or we're going to dissolve, or we're just going to dissolve. That's kind of my view.
Janet?
Well, I considered withdrawing, but being in my position and not in any faction, I decided not to, if only to see if there are any among you, especially those in my former faction, who might have the courage to vote for me. As a director, I have chosen to heed former Pacifica Corporate Counsel Andy Gold's advice to the 2008 PNB that the duty of loyalty of a director is the best interest of the foundation above the best interest of the station a director represents or any particular constituent element within the membership. This is a difficult position to be in and is why some KPFA advocates have been disappointed by some of my votes. A director must also avoid any conflict of interest. I also abide by my duty of obedience, which requires obedience to Pacifica's mission, bylaws, and policies, as well as honoring the terms and conditions of other standards of appropriate behavior, such as laws, rules, and regulations. Pacifica has been in crisis going back to at least 2008, and KPFA is suffering. I find it interesting that so many of you have put blame, but avoid looking critically inside your own station while impeding everyone, anyone who does. Is there something to hide at KPFA? I stand for transparency and governance and management accountability and am informed by facts rather than repeated falsehoods, half-truths, and spin from influential individuals or threats of lawsuits. This election will test your integrity and conscience. I urge you to set aside your factional politics and vote to reelect me to the PNB.
Aki.
Hi. Well, I've been involved in Pacifica for, well, KPFA for quite a few years, and it's always been a mystery to me why there's always this incredible polarization both within the station, although it's getting better here, but even with the national board. And I think only thing I can promise is that I'm going to go and try to bridge whatever. I don't want to be on any side. I think the Pacific needs to be one whole. There's no reason why it cannot be that. So I might be naive, but that's I'm going to give it a shot at that.
Andrea. Oh, wait a minute. You've got to have a mic.
Okay. Test. Yeah, it's working. It's good. Yeah, thank you. Oh yeah, start with a song, right? With a mic. That's what I tried that the last time I was on the national. And I feel that we're past the song. I want to move on to really rallying and chanting and trying to work with others to pull people together on this and to really try to target and focus on the crisis. That's what's missing. And with my background in group process, I would like to really work trying to pull us together to target areas of work that we have to respond to if we're going to try to save the whole ship. Otherwise, I will definitely want input and communications to be a priority to work with KPFA because, as all of you know, we're really holding this ship together, the whole ship. And I feel that we need to come together to talk and to really target some areas that, like finances, and also, I mean, fiduciary responsibility is really, really key. And we need to talk about that and put it on the table so that the rest of our network can begin to deal with in a proactive way of how to save the whole ship. You know, that's where it is. How do we save the whole ship? And with a reality check-in and having some targets. That we have to do. We have to have some targets and some points, and it's a reality check-in. This will be hard for me to try to pull off because I serve on other boards as well. But this KPFA is my heart, and it's been our backbone. And we as cultural activists owe so much to KPFA. If there's any way in my small way that I can help out with group process, communications, targeting, but finance and how to save us and all of these lawsuits. I mean, we have to have a check-in.
The time is up.
That. So thank you.
Thank you. All right. Aki is now passing around a ballot for each of you, and you will notice that Sharon's name has been crossed off, and we have only enough ballots for the number of people we have here, so that we can't have, you know, we can't do Chicago style, you know. Although that's all a bunch of bullshit.
Where's Richard Daley?
You live there.
So we're voting for three, right?
We're voting for three. We have three votes, and in this way we vote, you don't just put a check. You have to put 1, 2, 3. So you have to indicate your preference.
But
and
you can vote just for one person or just...
You can vote for one person or just two people. Or you can vote for all three, but you have to say 1, 2, 3 if it's more than one. And I will... you can bring your ballots to me. And somebody else can come and help count, and we'll look these over.
Well, here she goes.
What?
Now I can go to the bathroom.
No, you can't.
Okay. Oh, good. Okay. Thank you very much, Emily. And we're breaking in 10 minutes. How's that? The recording is on. We are now on the air, so let's get going. Please sit down. Thank you very much. Okay, come on. Come on. Let's go. All right. Okay. All right. Right. So what? Okay. We have the results of the election. And it presents us with a new election requirement because the people elected are, Bill Campisi, Aki Tanaka, and Andrea Turner. Congratulations. But Aki is not eligible if he is the secretary, so he is no longer the secretary. And so we have to elect a secretary. And I see Sharon's hands raised.
I'd like to nominate Carol Wolfley as secretary.
Do I have a second? Second. Is there any other nominations? Seeing none, by acclamation, Carol Waffley is now the secretary of the KPFA LSB. Yeah. All right. So come on over here and take your chair and start taking minutes.
Now you get to sit at the head table.
Okay.
Short but lovely.
And Aki will help you with the transition. And you are now in charge of making sure that we have rooms every time. Great. Thank you so much.
I vote for South Berkeley seniors.
I just need to say a couple of things. You need to, full disclosure, I don't see very well. A lot of you know that, but we'll have to figure out a system for raising hands and counting the votes.
Okay. Where are we? Okay. Now we are going to adjourn as the delegates assembly, and we are now reconvening as the KPFA LSB January meeting. And we do not, we're calling the treasurer to tell us what the situation is with the treasurer's report with a microphone, not just, you know. Did somebody tap me on the shoulder?
Bye, David.
Oh, David, I have to use your phone.
So first of all, we had a little difficulty getting the report out this week because of my schedule and because many of you may know that Maria's been ill and was, since Christmas, I think she's only been in the office maybe 3 or 4 days. So it's been a little difficult. But I'm going to give you the notes that I took and try to get us up to speed. First and foremost, on the positive side, on a positive note, we are able to sustain ourselves through almost up to the drive in February. Cash flow is very strong at this particular time. But by the time we get to May, we will be again into that, you know, 3 minutes to midnight situation if things are not on a positive note through the drive. So I want to be very clear about that. The other point of concern in that discussion is every time through what I'm doing a quick catch-up, and I do have some experience having been the interim general manager of KPFA and the national HR director, is every time we seem to get money, money is taken out to support the rest of the network. And so that is of grave concern. Just this week, just yesterday or 2 days ago, we received an emergency call of action to reproduce an up-to-date budget. And we are asked to do that because of some of the money that was being requested by the national office. And so it's very disconcerting. So I'm going to go ahead and read what I have for you here. I just restate it again. But number one, we always are fund drive to fund drive. After the next drive, we will be good until May, our May drive. That, of course, is if we don't have our funds depleted from us. Between the holidays, vacations, and illness, the November financials are not yet prepared, as I mentioned about her being ill. The counting of December funds are just now getting finished. And the reason and rationale behind that is, if you're aware, and Quincy spoke to that earlier, is that we try to help folks out, push them to provide the monies for us for their taxes, et cetera. And so we try to extend that out a little bit more to be able to support our listeners and folks donating the money that they do. Although the LSB passed our budget in August, PMB is asking for revised budgets, which I explained, without giving Maria how or what they want revised. So we were unable to put that together, and so that's sort of the gist of the report. We will get this printed out and present it as soon as possible to the body, so you'll be able to review that. And I just spoke to Maria, in fact, and so hopefully she'll be able to get in by Monday, and we should be able to provide this information in writing for you. As you all know, it's requested in sort of a mandate for the body so that you'll have it to be able to review. And some of the narrative also that Quincy provided, as you mentioned, about the call center, I believe from my experience also it is the call center and what goes on in the phone room as well, but we'll also pull that out to make sure that's clear as well, because we want to be able to see all the numbers that are presentable. You know, from a financial perspective, we are the ocean liner, and there's a sense and concern, as I said on the finance committee, of passing budgets that are in the red, passing budgets where I mentioned before, if programming, I said this on the finance committee, any of you listened to that, that if we're passing budgets that don't include programmers or program a program director, and program is the essence and the bloodline in which trumps it to our heart of the organization, how do we do that? How do you expect them to sustain? And that if the model is, as it seems to be, what we're doing at KPFA, then that should be a model that all should follow. In addition to using the systems, financial systems, to speak to all instead of having separate systems. And so that needs to be taken into account, and people need to be held accountable. So we look forward to the direction of the new board to be able to give us some assistance and take some guidance and listen to us as we try to write things up here financially for the organization. Thank you.
Question, discussion? I mean, Sharon, somebody give her the thing and then she should time herself.
I don't think I've ever gone over the time. I just want to say that. But I will time myself. I just had a question, which is, I understand you said that you didn't, that the PMB wants a revised budget without explaining what revisions they want. But does that mean that we will be, you anticipate that we will be looking at a revised budget at some time?
The answer to that question, I think Quincy mentioned that, the answer is yes, but it won't be based upon the prodding of the board at this particular time. Yeah. Don't know when that is. I couldn't answer that for you.
Bill Campese, microphone.
Just another note, most of the other stations are also preventing revised board, presenting as well, revised budget as well. Yeah.
Now that we, you know, don't have the CFO anymore, or a CFO, so who is asking for this information, or can you even tell us a little bit about the structure of the financial office or personnel at Pacifica?
Yeah, not sure. I had it in the email because the email did not come directly to me. It came to Maria, and I can't remember who asked for that specifically. But yes.
Michael Novak,
yes, that's who asked for it. Well, and his response was when we asked, I was sort of on the outlier communicating through Maria as she was getting the emails, was why do you need it, for what reason? And we've already presented the budget to you. It is sort of where it is. In addition to that, he said, his response was, I don't know. And I don't kill the messenger. And I asked through the roundabout, because I was at work, so I'm doing this. I said, so what are the consequences of not providing to you at this time in this 11th hour? I got the email and said, there are no consequences. I said, well, we're not sending it. That was a decision I used based upon the counsel I was asked of.
What's Michael Novick's position, if you know?
I don't really know. Does somebody?
He's LSB from KPFK.
KPFK.
But is he on a committee of? Okay, Janet.
Jeremy, no.
He's the chair of the National Finance Committee.
Yeah. So that's what I found interesting. When I recognized who it was, because I was at work, yeah, and that has come back to me, I was like, so why are you asking? And he couldn't answer the question. So I was trying to figure out if he was being, if the national office was asking him to ask. And since he didn't have, he said, don't attack the messenger. So I said, well, in my mind, we don't have a CFO. I didn't see any other director. So I told Maria no. I don't know.
Information. Does Janet Coburn know why we're being asked to submit a revised budget to the national office?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not on the National Finance Committee. So it's the Finance Committee that asked for that. I don't know the details on that.
Lisa. You can come up here.
Sorry, I'm new. So maybe you could just explain a little bit more what's the background of this. So why do they want a revised budget? What's the problem with having a revised budget?
Again, I don't know why they asked. That was the question. That was my first question. I said, well, you're asking to have this right now. Why? Where the directive come from? And I was asking this through Maria because he didn't reach out to me. He's asked through Maria, and she's emailing me while she's emailing him. And so finally I just said, send me the thread. And I said, ask him these questions. And he said, don't kill the messenger. I don't know, okay. Yada, yada, yada. And so I assumed the directive was coming from the national office. I know we don't have a CFO. I know we have the interim ED and no HR guy.
Okay, so when will we get a treasurer report from you?
As soon as I'm able to meet with Maria.
Okay, and when do you think that will
be? She's sick. She's been sick. That's why
so
I said in the
week,
beginning.
Week or two?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Andrea. Anna? Turn it on. Click it on. There you go.
Yeah. Just a quick question. Have you seen the format of what's being requested of you? For a revised budget. Haven't seen any. Don't even know what the format.
Come on, folks. This is specific. So you're asking me questions. First of all, I'm new.
Yeah.
Second of all, you know, we just asked.
No.
I got that. The reason why I was asking because
I've seen the original budget.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. If you saw the format, you would see what questions were different from the original that you used.
Question was asked, I mean, there was no specifics. There was no specifics. They just asked, could you send a revised budget? And that's been asked of all, during the passing of the budgets, that's been asked of everybody when they call into question certain particular, areas of interest or concern. So, for example, there was concerns about health and welfare, so they wanted to make sure. There were concerns about programmers, so they wanted to make sure that was in there. But, we will approve this, but bring us back a revised with XYZ in it. But nothing was asked of us here at the time the budget was passed in August. There was no asking of it at that time. So now they're asking yesterday, could you send us a revised budget? You know, the concern I have is it a way to ask us now to pay off other additional things that they're looking based upon what was asked for other stations and what they're going through? So that was my question. So just as Bill said earlier today, finding out about a lawsuit but not knowing about the lawsuit because you just have to go through it, are we paying out somewhere else for other things that are leaking?
Exactly.
Sharon.
I hear you that you don't know. I'm speculating.
and it's just pure speculation because nobody knows, that perhaps it's because they have the new assessment that, you know, we are supposed to be paying, and so they want us to revise our budget to include, you know, the increase that we will allegedly be paying to the Pacifica National Office. Just a speculation.
Okay. Any other questions? Oh.
Yeah, that's it for me.
Okay.
I wondered, one of the things that I had understood from Sam Agarwal is that there is a possibility that he sees a possible way for the network to move forward, and he had some plans before he left. And I guess this is more a request, is if it would be possible for you to, you know, find out what that was, and bring it to the LSB so that we could understand what he was proposing.
The answer to that would be yes. He provided a great deal of good, solid history, and I'd like to find out from his perspective, yes, how we could move in that direction. But I think that is as the same reason we had him sort of come and give us the history, financial history. I'm going to be able to do that as soon as possible because of all the other moving pieces we have in front of us, because what was good last week may not be good today.
Okay. Okay, we're moving on. I cannot hear you.
The cab person isn't here yet.
FCF report. There's nobody here from that. So we have to go to old business. Maybe, yeah. Depending on whether or not we're here. Okay. If we're here, yes. Okay.
I don't know if that was a decision to change the agenda, but shouldn't we do the election of the new CAB members? Is that what you're saying?
Well, actually, yeah, okay. So let's do the election of the new CAB members. Who wants to motivate this? I think our secretary does.
I do. So I believe Aki passed out some of the...
You're done.
Aki passed out two of the CAB nominations. Craig Donkerly is here today. Craig, do you want to stand up? And... did you want to say a few words about your nomination, your proposed?
Into a
microphone. Had a sat in on the CAB meeting that is taking place a little bit earlier. Pleased to say they endorse my nomination. Looking forward to it's pretty much all on my nomination form there, but very much looking forward to participating if you approve.
So we've got Craig has been self-nominated, and also Marianne Thomas. Marianne could not come because she broke her arm, and she was trying to call into the CAB meeting as well. So Marianne has done extensive work with outreach, going to different KPFA events, distributing KPFA literature.
She's a really nice lady. She's done a lot of work with World Can't Wait, and she's done a lot at the KPFA events, the last KPFA event that I hosted. She was there, and yeah, she's a great lady.
So can we have a motion to, do we want to separate them one at a time, or do we want to have a motion to accept both of them? Somebody make a motion. What is that?
Oh, sorry. I move we accept both of them.
And there's a second on discussion. All in favor, please raise your hands. Opposed? Motion carries. Both people are accepted.
Yay.
Okay.
Yay.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. We now have old business, the retreat. I don't think there's any old business on that. So we have new business. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Go ahead, Lisa.
I wasn't at the retreat. I was being great if people could just give a short summary of it.
It was fabulous. No. somebody other than me give a report. Who wants to say something? Somebody other than you.
No. Time it for 2 minutes.
Okay. I got it going.
2 minutes.
Sharon, you want to do it?
2 minutes. No, no. 2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Okay, well, what, there. First of all, somebody tell me how many people were there, about 15, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Less okay. than quorum for the second half.
Okay. Carol Travis prepared binders for everybody, which was great. They had the bylaws in it. I was supposed to prepare a cheat sheet on Robert's Rules of Order, which I didn't get done, but I am going to do that and pass it around. And I prepared the thing about the dissolution lawsuit, which I handed around, and now I can't find it on my computer. We had a facilitator there who was great.
Right here.
Oh.
Betsy. Thank you.
Oh, hi.
Thank
yeah.
you for doing that.
And she was very helpful, I thought. And it was interesting. This one was different from the first one, I thought. The first one was a little more touchy-feely, a little bit more. Of course, I hadn't been involved at all, and I knew the people there already. So I thought this one was just very informative about people's attitudes towards this problem, Pacifica versus KPFA, which, you know, saving KPFA for sure. How can we save Pacifica? Is it possible to save Pacifica? So we were talking about that and thinking hard about that and just getting information about what's going on with Pacifica and just the problems, you know. It's scary and difficult. And I think we came away with a feeling like that.
Maybe Betsy would like to say something about what you thought. You have to have a microphone if you're going to say anything. She doesn't want to say anything. I mean, you're a neutral party.
Thank you very much. And although I have lots of thoughts and feelings and was privileged to be there, I want to defer to the newcomers who were at the retreat who probably can give good feedback as to how it was helpful to them or not.
Right.
Thank you.
Ahmad is a newcomer.
Yeah, so as a newcomer to the board, but not to Pacifica, I thought it was very well put together from the standpoint of not just the pain, but the positive flow or movement of ideas and suggestions of where we should be going. I appreciated the respect that everybody was given and the opportunity to share their thoughts. I appreciate the expertise that we have in the room, that people are bringing, the members are bringing as their professions as well as their community. And it adds to, if you will, the gumbo, if you will, of what we really are all about. And that is very much appreciated as a new person to the board and as a person that's been a part of the organization as well. And that I appreciate it.
Sharon wants to say something. So, yes, pass her the mic.
I do thank you, Betsy, for what you did facilitating, and it reminded me that we talked about having a town hall, which is one of our duties in the bylaws, and Betsy had actually even agreed to help facilitate that, if I'm not putting words in your mouth. Okay, yes, I see a nod. So I'd actually like to make a motion. Say what? Okay, so I'd like to make a motion, maybe that we could form a task force to actually start working on having one possible town hall this year. So that's a motion, if anyone wants to say, yes, thank you.
So that's a motion that somebody was whispering in my ear, but that we have a town hall this meeting, is that this
form
year?
Form a
task force to organize a town hall for this year. Mm-hmm. And there's a motion and a second. And is there any discussion? All in favor, please raise your hand. All opposed? We're there. Okay. And Lisa?
Yeah, appoint people.
Oh, okay. Who gets to appoint me?
Well, I mean, or
volunteers. Who wants to volunteer? Sharon wants to volunteer. I'll volunteer. I know Betsy said that she knows people who know stuff about town hall, so maybe we can talk to Betsy too. Going once. We'll get in touch with us if you want to. You're in charge of getting meeting places, but you know, you can add that to your.
I didn't get the number of votes.
Nobody opposed. It was people were, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Lisa. I don't even know where we are on the agenda. I guess a retreat.
Old business.
So I'm really sorry I didn't come to the retreat. And as a new member, I think it would be really helpful. And I don't know if this was happened. I sound like it happened at the retreat. If we could get a packet of information to help us to get up to speed on what's happening with Pacifica and some of the things that maybe were discussed, so we can have a more informed discussion when we actually have that meeting on Pacifica.
We have sent around, and I'll send it around again, or I can send it to you, a packet of all the ideas that were generated by the last LSB. And three of which were sent to the. I'll send you a packet of the materials that were in the thing, and Bill can add his. And if there's anybody else who wants to be added to that list, let me know. I don't know, Scott. I don't know if you got them or not. Okay. All right. Somebody. And if I don't get, if I don't, Lisa, if I don't send it to you or Scott, remind me. Okay. Okay. Perfect. Craig. Give him a microphone, please.
Yeah, I really appreciated the retreat. I think the best thing was the food, probably. No.
Thank you, Carol and Margaret.
But also the presentations. I know it took time for people to put the presentations together, and they were very thoughtful. And, you know, I learned a lot at the retreat as a new person.
Andre.
I really appreciated the structure Sharon that she gave, and then the financial report, the overview of where we are. It was fantastic. It was deep. I almost didn't want to think about running for anything deeper, but I think we're all in this together, and so we can try to pull it off. But those two areas were really, I particularly like that.
Great.
And do we have a summary? You started in the meeting to list all of the areas of concern.
We are required, I think, by various procedures to put in a report, summary that we give to the national people about what our retreat was and to make that public. And I intend to do that before midnight Sunday, so help me God.
Okay. But I thought the succinct points of what we have to, it would be a launching pad for those of us who will be on the PMB to try to push some of those points.
Absolutely.
Campisi wants to speak again. Just one more thing.
Sorry. So, you know, Sam, the former CFO, spoke at the retreat. So he says KPFT is disintegrating in Texas. Like, wow, who knew that? One of the main problems is how opaque and obscure what goes on in the network is to us. We don't find out. It turns out that the 15-year GM, general manager of KPFT, was fired. We don't know that, you know? So for some reason, the people in the national office, I don't know whether it's politics, not enough time, not enough personnel, the information about the organization doesn't get put out. And so, and the thing is, because we're legally responsible for each other, everything that happens at every other station that goes bad, each of the other stations is responsible for that through Pacifica. And of course, the only one who has any money to pay for it is us. So something, you know, so KPFK just got a $285,000 judgment related to some employee stuff
down in Los Angeles, you know, that they have to pay, but we have to pay it. Pacifica has to pay it.
For violating the union contract.
Yeah. And so, but, and people, you know, so nobody, no, it's just like the lawsuit that, you know, that Steve Brown and the judgment. None of this stuff is ever put out. So it's a dysfunctional organization. It's not
functioning. We're talking about the retreat.
Yeah, well, so the treat, it just showed you more again that the organization does not function like a business organization should function. It's just not doing. And that's because we have a political structure running the organization instead of a business structure running the organization.
Oh, you're getting into some territory that is very dangerous. Okay. Where am I? Cab report. Although I don't think you have a half an hour like you had last time, although there was a substantial report put out last time that was quite long and was pushed over to this meeting. And I don't know if you want to re-give that for 5 minutes and then we'll have some questions. Or let's do that. Okay. So you've got 5 minutes.
Yeah. You can come over here.
And reintroduce yourself.
I'm Michael Sukoff, a member of the KPFA Community Advisory Board. Thank you for having us back. Have a little bit more time to just briefly reiterate what we said at the last meeting and to happy to answer any questions, your concerns, et cetera. And I just want to preface this by again reiterating, if I didn't say it explicitly this way last time, that especially given the emergency financial situation of the station, we're all in this together. CAB is here to support the LSB and the station. Our two main functions are advisory and review. I do have a copy here, which I could pass out, or just anybody who wants one. It's from the CPB Guidelines 2017 for Community Advisory Boards, just to refresh your memory, or for those of you who are new, as to what our mandate is and our role vis-a-vis the station. Very briefly, and again, some of you have heard this before, so I'll make it extremely brief. Community advisory report we put out as mandated by the CPB and also, I believe, the PNB. I'm not sure of the relationship there, to do an annual community needs assessment, which looks at how the station's been doing in the eyes of listeners and community members. And we gather that information from a variety of ways and sources. If I do have a couple of additional copies of the report for those of you who weren't here last time or who didn't get one, be happy to pass that along at any point. Anyway, the first page of the report, introduction and sources, it gives a summary of what the report is, what it's about, and where we drew our information and data from. The context of the report, section two, you know, just taking into consideration the financial emergency that the network is in and how this is obviously impacting all the stations, especially KPFA. And so in that context, we offered this report. And these recommendations are purely that. They're culled from input we got from a variety of contexts and through a variety of sources. From members, community members, listeners, and just others, concerned community members. And we support at CAB further communication among everybody in the KPFA community. And, you know, we want to consider issues like diversity of staffing and supporting that within the station and also on the CAB. Because we ourselves realize that we're all white folks, Okay, so we are making efforts to diversify and would actually like the support of the LSB in our attempts to do so. And quickly moving on, there's an executive summary, and the highest priority recommendations that we have made in the needs assessment is that to improve KPFA news and public affairs programming by identifying and making more use of independent, non-mainstream sources of news, focusing less on coverage of mainstream party politics and issues as framed by corporate media, and more on alternative viewpoints and perspectives. And we recommend that the station provide more opportunities and airtime for community-based journalists. We realize some of this is happening. Just we want to encourage and recommend that more efforts be put in this direction, that the station expand online resources, including use of forms of social media, use existing volunteer and social media assets for outreach and fundraising for the station, and to explore emerging technology platforms for news curation and audience building, improve station-wide communication. Again, this is a bullet point. And then the last major recommendation in the executive summary is to consider long-term trends in feedback, meaning that, you know, we've been conducting this community needs assessment report. Oh, okay. Well,
are you done pretty much? Or?
I can finish in a sentence or two.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. I just basically wanted to say that, as I stated earlier, we want to work together more closely with the LSB since we are in this advisory and review capacity. And so so we want to do our due diligence in making sure that happens. And we would also like to have more, you know, open lines of communication with the LSB, including We don't have much in the way of resources, and what we do have, we may want to consider reallocating the $15 a month we get toward something else, or consider, you know, given the situation of the station, it's a hard time to ask for that, but, you know, we'll come back with more specifics. So I'd like to throw it open for anyone who has any questions, concerns, comments, and we do want suggestions for improving the report.
Okay. I see Richard, Craig, Ahmad. I see Sabrina. Did I miss anybody? Tim. Okay.
Okay.
Richard.
Yeah, first of all, thank you very much for this very detailed report. Part of the report I like are the suggestions in a broad general area. Here.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Hi. In a broad general area, the kind of things that people in the station may have overlooked in terms of improving the station. My question concerns the surveying. Where do these people come from? How many people did you talk to? Is this a cross section of people? Is the people who just showed up at meetings? Who are we talking about here?
Okay, well, others may want to add to this point, including Carol, who is a former member. The sources of our data were several. If you're talking about surveys, we did not do a survey. We have community feedback forms that are handed out at all CAB functions, or at least made available. Particularly at our community participation meetings, which I think we had two or three of those in 2016. And so we got the majority of those handed out and completed and turned back to us there. In addition, we take them to other community or KPFA-sponsored events. And that's answering specifically in terms of a survey. Okay, now it's not systematic in the sense of, you know, like a social scientific survey.
Okay, it's not scientific or anything. It's just self-selected people responding to this.
Yes, yes. And we would like to improve on that, but I can get to that another time.
Okay.
Craig, pass Craig the mic. Richard, pass the mic down.
Yeah, just to initially riff off the idea of feedback, we get feedback all the time during fund drives. You know, somebody's got a show where it's popular, they're raising a lot of money for that show. And on the other hand, you know, if the show's not that popular, then, you know, we get feedback by the low contribution levels. The two things that I went to a couple of CAP meetings, and the thing I came out of the meetings with were basically two ideas. One is, in terms of getting other, you know, community groups to become more involved or to get more airtime at KPFA, maybe what we could do is we could do some sort of a tutorial on press releases. You know, if you do a good press release, you're going to get airtime. If you go up to a station and you say, listen, this is a big issue and it seems exciting, then they're going to cover that issue. And, you know, if you know, local community groups want to get more airtime, maybe having some sort of a project where we teach people how to do good press releases would be helpful. The other thing is, I think it's very Berkeley-centric in that what we could maybe use is a blog. And if you had a blog, people could, you know, community advisory board, it'd be people from throughout the Pacifica community. And, you know, it wouldn't be that hard to do. You know, you have a blog where people, you know, put up information. And also, you know, staff people or other people can sort of answer questions. Sometimes there are questions that come up, like the thing about the press release, where somebody could just say, listen, you know, somebody from the staff could say, listen, if you did this, this, and this, you know, you could resolve the problem. So I think that with a blog, we can, you know, have everybody from throughout the Pacifica region, you know, comment, and it wouldn't be Berkeley-centric, and, you know, it would be more of an actual community.
Go ahead, Lisa. I'll go after you.
No, I'm Kate Keenan, you're next, and then there's other people ahead.
My bad. So, and I laughed when you said this. So, how do you plan to recruit more people of color? I'm always interested how that works in your mind process. As a white person, you said it. How do you plan to do that?
Well, we've just started discussing that. We're not experts on that. And that's one of the reasons why we would love to have some input from anybody, including folks of color, on the LSB. We were dying for that kind of feedback. I can give you my impressionistic answer, but I'm not sure it's going to satisfy anybody. Fantastic. Thank you.
I don't think LSB members are CAB members, but you can, you know, you can talk. It's okay for you to talk to each other.
Cultural experience, I'll share that.
And I just want to note that Craig is from New York. Okay. Next is Sabrina.
God. Now, I don't know how I did not get the community needs assessment, so I got to get a copy of this, which is great and very, very long. But the CPB process, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, we're not getting that money. As far as the CAB is concerned, what exactly is the process as far as keeping the CAB going, and how do we get ourselves reinstated with CPB funding, and how does that all plug in? Because you guys, we're still doing the CAB. I understand that, you know, KPFA is a community radio station. But how does this all fit in? Because, you know, got some great ideas. Craig just came out with a really great idea. However, that's more manpower, unpaid manpower. So how does the CAB plug in with the CPB funding, and how is that worth our time?
And that's directed to me.
I don't know if you know that. I mean,
Yeah, I can only partially address that because I'm not an expert on how to answer that question. Carol may have a lot of more knowledge about it than I do.
Carol's going to be in the she's in the line, so great. Why don't we?
Okay.
Okay. Tim. Yeah.
So I, again, want to thank you for everybody on the CAB for the very detailed report, for the work that you do. It shows, you know, the detailed report demonstrates, and other work, demonstrates a lot of work and commitment to KPFA. So I thank you very much for that. My question, I guess, is it seems like a lot of the report is based on, and correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like a lot of the report is based on the contributions of 54 people. Is that? 53 people, and they are listeners to KPFA. Is that correct? No. Oh, okay.
I'll speak to it.
Okay. So then, the second part of my question is how the CAB, if I understand it right, the Community Assessment Board
advisory,
the Community Advisory Board should be looking at how we serve the communities in our area, which I presume would include people who are not listening to us. Is there any plan or discussion of how to address finding those people who are not listening to us and finding out what would it take to get them to listen to us or what they are looking for in radio broadcasting?
Short answer, yes. This is... just preface that my answer by saying that that's something that we definitely want to work more closely with other parts of the station with. I understand there's an outreach committee that the station has. I know nothing about it. I would like to know a lot more. But in terms of the CAB itself, we just lost one of our vital members, and thanks to everybody here for approving the nominations of our two new members. We're really excited about that. Just today, in fact, we had our meeting this morning, and this came up for discussion. Craig is from the South Bay, and we discussed, you know, doing some outreach in the South Bay, reaching out to other communities, other progressive groups. And thank you for highlighting the importance of reaching out to prospective listeners. And this is part of what we want to constitute ourselves to do in alliance with the station and the board, and we discussed ways of doing that. I could go into more detail later or offline if you like.
No, just thank you for doing that. I think any coordination with the outreach committee would be win-win for everybody.
Exactly.
Lisa.
So thank you for the really detailed report. Obviously, people have done a lot of work. I guess my question is, how do you see getting these suggestions and implemented? My understanding with KPFA is it basically has a manager and a program director that make all the decisions. So I don't know what your past experience has been working with them. From what I read from what you handed out, you're an advisory, right? There's no actual...
Power.
So, I mean, I think these are great ideas. Expand the KPFA website with more podcasts, video postings, live streaming, community calendars. Develop and expand the KPFA Facebook page. These require people power. I guess I'm wondering, have you talked with the management and have they gotten on board with this, or how do you see getting these implemented? I just want to add one thing. I noticed you said more positive programming. We are the ones who started Talk It Out the Radio, which is the nonviolent communication and Buddhism show on Sunday night. So we're going to bring positive power to the station.
Wonderful. Let's see. Well, that's a hard question to answer for me because I'm relatively new to the CAB. I came on board last March. I can just, based on what I know, my limited knowledge of the station and the relationships among the board, between the board and the CAB, and I'll tell you what my ideas are, but they may not be realistic. I would like us as CAB, and you know, I'm speaking with the sentiment of the CAB, but I'm saying this, you know, myself, that we would like to find more ways to more regularly interact with staff, with LSB members outside of these meetings. I have no idea how, as an individual member of the CAB, what I should do to reach out to staff members. And we were so involved with this report. I mean, it was just hard for us to also put time into, you know, building those relationships. I myself am extremely committed to that because, you know, especially in the light of where things are with the station, we need to pull together. Anything we can do to talk to each other more frequently is a plus. So we are all open to your suggestions and your help in this regard.
The next person to speak is Carol. I just want to say something about the report. The report is very pretty and long and has a feel of substance to it. It really, however, doesn't mention a number of my favorite shows as if they, like, don't exist. And so it feels to me like the community that it represents is, you know, doesn't, it's a community that doesn't, it's not across the whole spectrum of KPFA. So that's one thing. And a second thing I want to say is that I think that even though we can improve in many ways, not only expanding our listenership and making things better in all kinds of ways, that KPFA is essentially a wonderful station. I just want to say that.
Thank you. So I want to speak to Sabrina's question first. The compliance, the CAB is set up as a compliance, it's part of compliance for CPB. So in order to get CPB money, all the Pacific stations need to have CABs and the meetings need to be documented and the minutes need to be posted, and it has to have open meeting regulations of posting. So that's, the CAB is in compliance with those things. Is that?
But I mean, as far as reinstating, getting the
money. They don't do anything just by being in compliance. And then the other part of getting CPB is the audits, getting the audits done.
It has to do with the management of Pacifica generally and the functioning, and it has a lot of requirements, and so they can't answer that.
So I want to just again state that the role of the CAB is to review and advise. It doesn't say be statisticians and have 5,000, you know, pieces of data. It's to review and advise. So at the same time, the CAB made an attempt, and the CAB holds regular meetings once a month at the Grassroots House, and people have come to those meetings and participated and met with the CAB members. CAB members have gone out into many community organizations and worked with many community organizations, diverse community organizations. And I think at the same time, there are other ways to get statistical information. I want to just mention, Sharon, I think this is correct, but stats.pacifica.org is also a place where you can go and look at all the stations' access to the data regarding access to the different programs at different times. Is online, and you can look at those stats, and that will help. And, you know, I think that also answers kind of what Carol Travis was bringing up, is that there were some programs, you know, that we noticeably, I realized later on, weren't there, that are very popular programs, Up Front being one of them. So, yeah, that was one thing. And there are ways to do, you know, there could be mailings going out. So when the mailings are going out, it could be a request for getting more data. I think those are possibilities. And I think the other thing is the outreach committee and the CAB. The outreach committee is really not that functioning right now. And I think that's a big piece of the puzzle that maybe the LSB can address at some point, to work collectively with the CAB to work together. And maybe the CAB, you know, we just passed a motion to hold a town hall, and maybe the CAB can help support that town hall by helping mobilize people from the community to come.
Okay. You know, this is one of the longest discussions of CAB we've had, and we have a bunch of other things to go on. We've got, now we have five more people who want to speak. Okay, Bill, Andrea, Lisa, Tom, I thought, and Craig. Is that right? Did I get everybody? Well, I'm not going to cut it off individually if somebody else wants to make a motion to cut it off. But Bill. So wait a minute. So Bill, let me capture this again. Andrea, Lisa, Craig, Tom. I think that's it. Bill.
So, Michael, last time I said...
And I'm not going to go back and forth and back and forth with you, each of you. If there's questions raised of you, if you would make notes of them so that we can move this along. Go ahead, Bill.
Yes, it's a good report in the sense that it shows that you did a lot of work. I too feel like there were programs left out that I like. But in any case, you know, you were talking about more alternative viewpoints and perspectives and less mainstream news. I personally am afraid of some of the implications of that, and I'll just give you an example. You know, there's limited airtime. There may be people out in the community who want to hear about the conspiracy on 9/11 and how it was all a staged event and all that. There may be other people in the community like me who want to hear about single payer as an alternative to what's going on. I want to spend our time attracting a broader audience talking about single payer than talking about a conspiracy on 9/11 to blow up those buildings. Like, I give a rat's ass. But I really do care about single payer. And so when we're talking about alternative viewpoints, we need to be careful about what we're talking about and how we're using our time.
Andrea.
Just two quick
things. No.
Oh, my sorry.
Just two quick questions. One, does the CAB ever meet with the general manager? Because I'm trying to get back to your question. How do we get, if we're going to be in compliance, how does that factor into your link to the general manager? Do you meet with the general manager, or does he just check off on the CPP grant? I do grants. That's where I get most of my money, federal dollars and stuff like that. And, oh, boom. We meet with the general manager, and we're the CAB, you know, and so that shows we're in compliance. But is there real dialogue and time where there's a review and discussion about what the CAB is doing? And so, and my second question is, when's the next survey? And this perhaps would be our opportunity for the outreach as well as the CAB and the general manager to get together to maybe make an impact in terms of outreach and getting more input, as opposed to having a 53 base number that you have here. I'd love to see us have a target of maybe 300 or so to up the ante and have more input. So thank you.
Lisa.
Yeah, I guess I don't really have a lot of patience for more paperwork, more task force, more studying. I mean, I think what we need to do is, first of all, I know this is sort of off base, but we have been budgeted for hiring a marketing / development person for 10 years that hasn't been filled, which could do a lot of these things that are in here, including outreach that we've talked about. I don't know why that hasn't been filled.
Okay, wait.
Yes, partner with. That's what I'm saying. Right. Work with. So anyhow, I guess I think that what might be useful is finding areas of agreement that and approaching the management, because I really, this whole critique of we need more alternative, well, that's very subjective. I mean, there's very many different parts of the audience. I mean, we need to really talk about who we want to attract, how we're going to attract people, how we're going to grow, how we're going to create more demographics. Our audience is over 50, largely, 50 years old. They're going to be dying. We need to create a larger base. Speaking for myself, we cannot live on gifts to states enough from people dying. So, you know, we need to broaden our audience, and not everybody is going to be the Berkeley, I want the hear about whatever. So, but I guess what I'm more interested in is just being more effective. Like, how can we move forward in getting the handful of things that are doable? Like I was talking about the website, talking to management and doing that. I mean, my frustration with KPFA generally is, like I said, there's two people who make decisions. Everybody else is advisory. And we sit around and spend a lot of time talking about doing things, but we don't really have the power to do anything. So I think we need to talk about that at some point, because how can we even move forward with decisions, even if you have people of goodwill wanting to do it?
Craig.
First of all, I'm from Massachusetts, not New York.
Okay. Sorry.
But I just actually had a very brief suggestion. The Outreach Committee at one time had meetings with people from the staff. And they were actually at that place where you have your meetings, the Grassroots House. Yeah, they had like a couple of barbecues there. They had probably three events. And the general manager before Quincy attended the events, and also people on the staff, attended probably maybe six or seven people on the staff. So that might be something that you might want to look into, and, you know, it's a way for people to mingle and, you know, discuss stuff.
Tom.
Do we have any feeling at all of how the other four stations are doing with cab compliance?
No, I don't. Janet's gone. No, we don't.
So can we get that as...
I can tell you later.
Okay.
Is it good or bad?
Well, I think all the cabs are meeting right now.
So that's compliance. Okay. So next, that concludes your report. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, we're at new business, and we have Craig's Turbo Charge Pacifica presentation. Craig.
Thank you. A lot of the stuff that I have on the... on the Turbo proposal came out of when I was on the Outreach Committee. And a lot of this stuff was like from 3 or 4 years ago. But I became enthusiastic about it again because I ran the idea across Larry Cohen from CWA, who's now the chair of this organization called Our Revolution. And the idea was if we could do a local show with Our Revolution, you know, it could cover local issues as well as national issues. And the appeal for KPFA would be that, you know, they probably have 250,000 email addresses in the Bay Area. So would they, you know, the deal would be with Our Revolution is that when we did a show before we did the show, you send out information to your Our Revolution members, and hopefully those people will tune into KPFA, and maybe in the long run they'll become contributors and listeners and supporters of KPFA. So the five things are actually, that was like the fourth thing, it's Bernie, but it's actually Our Revolution. But, you know, the idea is that, you know, we're starting to harness technology within KPFA. We're getting better websites, we got CADPOD, podcasts, we got a lot of other things going on. But we're not harnessing the technology that's beyond KPFA. For example, the teachers union. The teachers, there are over 300,000 teachers in the state. There's also college professors and other people. And they have email systems where they send out information to their members. And so if we can put together information that we can give them to send out to their members, then it's like free advertising for us. And so the first one is the teachers. One of the things I think KPVA does, which is probably better. All right, thanks. One of the things, I think the book interviews that we do, Richard, you probably do, how many a week? I don't know, 10 a week, maybe 7 a week. We do probably 100 author interviews a month on KPFA. And if we could somehow put that together and send it to teachers, the teachers are going to learn from that, but also it's going to be a tremendous thing to send to them. And hopefully in that situation we can convert those people who are listening to those author interviews into contributors. And I don't know what the numbers are, but you know, you're starting with teachers and professors, and these people should have an appreciation of that information. The second thing is union members. And I did a lot of this stuff when I was on the outreach committee, like at peace rallies or like Labor Day events and some stuff at CNA events. But the idea is that if you could go up to somebody and just say to them, hey, can I give you a business card? You know, like 98% of people who you say that to are going to say, yeah, okay. And the idea is that, you know, we could get more labor people to become contributors to KPFA. I think in terms of labor, one of the things that we don't recognize is that people who are in unions have just cause. And people who don't have just cause are living dangerously if they become involved politically, because they might have a boss who'll just say, get out of here. You know, I don't like you. And that's something that I think in general people don't know about. In other countries, in Europe, for example, they have universal just cause, where everybody has that just cause protection.
I think you're drifting on the topic.
This is why union members are strategically important, not only because we can get to their events, but also because very few people, like I say, have that just cause protection. The third thing is religious groups. For a long time, I felt that if KPFA had a program dealing with religious issues, we could reach out to the religious communities. The religious communities, you know, if you had a show where you talked about moral public policy, and a lot of people believe that there's a very strong moral dimension to public policy, this could be an interesting show for religious people. I'm not that religious a person, but I went to the Tikkun event about a month ago, and they're very enthusiastic about doing that. So the process would be you have people on a discussion, then after that, those people would mention that to their flock, and hopefully those people would start to become.
One of the things that you're doing, which is interesting, is you're raising a lot of issues for programs, and that you're also, I think, I thought the substance of your proposal was something about fundraising for hiring people to do a bunch of outreach. And I think you're making both proposals, or you see that as one total proposal. You sent it out anyway.
Yeah.
So you're at, where are you? Where are you? T-U-R, now B.
T-U-R is the religious groups. And,
right.
You know, we could do outreach to the religious community. And I think those people are potential contributors. A lot more people from the religious community could come into KPFA. I'm not saying that, you know, we're going to bring in millions of people. You know, in the religious community, if we brought in 1,000 new people.
I think what I'm trying to do, Craig, is get to not the argument of the importance of these community peoples, because I think everybody agrees with each of these communities are important and possible outreach things. The substance of your proposal, that one, that we use our lists to do the fundraising, to do the hiring of the people that you want to manage to do the outreach as the work, and also the sending of the programming, and not that these groups are or aren't important. Of course they're important, and they're also possible groups. But I think really the heart of your proposal for this, for the LSB, is using the groups, because the using KPFA lists to raise the money to do the things, and also to set up the programming. Is that fair?
No, I basically think that these groups are outside of KPFA, and that we want to bring them into KPFA.
Okay.
And if we bring them into KPFA, we'll have more money coming in.
Okay.
So in terms of lists, it's their lists that we want to harness, not our own lists. In terms of raising money for this, what I'm willing to do is I'm willing to raise the money. I would set up projects where we could raise the money. And I think, it would be somewhere between $10,000 and $15,000 for 6 months to do this as a project. And if it worked, then we could continue to do it. But to raise $10,000, I'm willing to do that. And I'm willing to do the, as a volunteer, the sort of program director idea thing. But, just going through these things, these are the areas where I think that, we've got the potential to raise more money. And so that's why I'm bringing them up.
Okay, why don't we have the questions from the board of you about reactions to this. Sharon, Tim, Richard, Carol. Sharon, Tim, Richard, Carol. Yes.
Quick
Sharon.
Question. Appreciate your comment that you would be willing to put your energy into raising the money to do this. How do you envision doing that? I guess we should maybe take the question. And then. Okay.
We were saying before, we'll make the question. So note the questions. And then when you have a series of questions, you'll answer the questions, not one at a time. So how would you raise the money? We're going to collect the questions. How would you raise the money? Go.
So just a comment before a question, and that is I am always concerned when I hear this board start relating itself to the programming grid indirectly, and I don't think... I personally feel that our governance role does not include a mandate to mess with the grid or to tell people what we think the grid should be. The program directors and general managers and stuff are there for a reason. To make it into a question, is there a way to do outreach to these communities for fundraising, for support, that is not dependent upon changing the program grid, at least in an immediate manner, to do so?
Let's see. Rich?
All right. Most of this is prefaced by, if we could, if we did this, if we did that. Each of those we's is a huge project. Finding interns, creating email every month, finding volunteers. Programming itself generally starts with a producer going to the program director and the manager. This is the way it's always been, because the person with the enthusiasm is the person who's going to be doing the work, and they work with the program director, or in the past, the program council. This is going about it ass backwards. We'll go out and find someone. Well, it's not that easy. I've been dealing with KPFA for 40 years. It doesn't work that way. Finding all of these interns and volunteers, it's not a little project. It's a big project. Every single step of this is a very big project. It's fine. I don't have a problem with it. But when you present something like this, I've been receiving these things, particularly when I was folio editor for 14 years. I was receiving these things, and they're all someone else's idea that we, being me and a few other people, have to put into practicality. That's a very different process than, say, what the CAB is talking about. It's a completely different process, and I appreciate the work you're doing, but it seems to me that from the perspective, as Tim says, when we're talking about programming, from the perspective of the amount of work, finding the volunteers, finding the interns, creating all this work, it's an enormous project that you're saying, you do it. Even if you take up a little piece of it, you do it. And throwing that on people who are backed up, trying to keep up, trying to do their programming, including coming to me and saying, hey, can I finish a couple of sentences?
It's not me, but I mean, I'm just a timekeeper.
Okay. saying to me, I've got to present you with all of these programs and program ideas that I have on top of everything I'm doing? Well, no. I'm working on two websites. I'm working on dozens of programming. Good luck with that. Sorry. That's my rant.
Okay. I think we should give Craig an opportunity now, and then there's some other people in line.
The first question was, how is he going to raise the money?
Right.
Thinking about it, first of all, when Richard started saying, well, you can't do this, and it's impossible to do, you're going to have to raise money, I started to think, well, how would we raise the money? Where would the sources come from? First source is, I was thinking, might be CNA. California Nurses Association wants to do something with us where they contribute to something. They have a very close connection with our revolution. They work very closely with them. It might be possible to raise $5,000 or $10,000 from them. I don't know how much we could raise from them, but they love our revolution, and if we had some sort of program for our revolution, we would get money from those people. Second thing would be just some sort of labor event. If we started to do a labor event, I was thinking Andrea could maybe help us out. We could have some music. We could have a documentary. This might be a small source of fundraising. Third thing is a religious group. If we could work with the gospel experience, the people.
Let me say this. The things that you're saying about raising money, I think you should go raise the money.
That's why I'm making the proposal.
No, go raise the money. You don't even need us. I think that you've got an idea. You have resources. You've been talking to a lot of people already about getting the money raised to do your project. And it sounds like, really, you should just go ahead and do your project. And terrific.
Well, you asked me about fundraising potential, and I'm just sort of answering the question. And I guess, does that answer your question?
Well, since you directed it back to me, I'm just going to take this moment to say, you know, I kind of am trying to echo what Richard was saying, which is that it's a good idea, but like there's so much like sort of procedural hurdles. And if you were to come to us, for example, with a proposal like, I've got $5,000 from the Nurses Union and they want to contribute it, okay, then we can start talking concrete. This is all so very vague. No, there's nothing like that we can be really against. It's just that it's so vague, it's hard to move it forward. And I've only been working with KPFA for 1 year, and I already know what you mean. Lots of great ideas, always, but it's the implementation and getting people to put their time into it. And just hear me out. I'm timing myself. It's just like I would just to sort of echo what Carol is saying, just come to us with the money and a concrete proposal. That's what I think would help me to be more supportive here.
I would say you don't have to come to us. If you get the money for the proposal, do it, brother. Do it.
Well, you know, I mean, I come to the board meeting, and most of the board meeting is this internal fighting between the two factions. And so these are new ideas, which are not based on ideological stuff, but it's based on seeing how we can bring in more money. And, you know, it's not, you know, I've been a long-term fundraiser. I fundraised for quite a few years. So I know a little bit about fundraising. So the second thing is about governance and the role of the board. You know, this is a proposal to take to the people who are the leadership and to say, do you want to do something with this or not? You know, in terms of governance, the role of the board, our two duties are to, in pro-corporate or on corporate boards, their duty is to account to the shareholders, and their duty is due diligence. And so ours is to our members, and due diligence is to come up with ideas for bringing in more money or not losing money.
Yes, you can. But I don't think this board has been doing a lot of fighting. I just want to say that. I may be wrong about that, but I think that to characterize our meetings as a lot of fighting is not fair. But and I want to encourage you to do what your idea is, and very much encourage you. But I don't think it is, you know, you need our endorsement. It's your idea. You can raise the money. You're a fundraiser. You want to do this. Go for it.
Well, I mean, looking at the emails, you know, if you look at the emails, there's a lot of conflict on the internet. Well, it's back and forth, and like I'm saying.
Wait, I think we're kind of off topic right now. Can I go ahead with my question? So, I do have done work with Craig in the outreach committee for a number of years, and also with the CAB, and I think outreach is an incredibly important issue. And I just want to start with that, and I want to thank Craig for your intention to do outreach. I think there's some tricky things here. The thing that gets me, one thing that I have a lot of concern about, and I know Christina has worked with issues with labor for a while, so when we're hiring people, hiring interns, raising money to hire interns, that is involving a lot at the station, you know, because it's a union, so that hiring people and the process for hiring people is not a simple thing. So I think, would you say that's true, Christina?
Yes, there are guidelines or specific contract language to that.
So we don't want to pull away from what management is doing to be involved in setting up a whole apparatus for hiring. I think we always have to be careful about how we are representing the station. Like if I do a flyer, Laura Privis said, bring it to me. She approves it. So I'm not speaking for KPFA. So I know, in your email you said you hadn't been able to get an appointment. But I think part of this would be to write up some pieces that are doable, that are clear to start a piece of it, and to be able, if you can pick one piece about get a volunteer intern to work with some of these things, I think a great place to start might be to get the cards, you know, and have some KPFA cards, but to find a doable piece of your project would be great. Thanks.
Well, I still didn't answer Richard's questions.
Wait a second. Sabrina's next.
All right, go ahead.
Just real quick, Greg, you got some great ideas. There really are, but we're spread thin as it is, and I think that I can speak for the whole board. We do support whatever, you know, however you want to proceed with this. It's just, we're all just really, really spread thin. And the fighting that you're seeing on the email threads, those are a lot of people that aren't on the board anymore. They used to be on the board, but they're not on the board anymore. So they're hearing the audio from these meetings that we have, the PNB meetings. So that's a lot of old crap, for lack of a better phrase, that's being brought into the resolutions that we're coming to right now. This board is not contentious, okay? So just want to clear that up. So I'm behind you on what you're doing. I want to echo what Carol Wolfley said. Start with a small piece, and let's work our way up together, okay?